We are on the air. It is the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. I am your host, Tom Richards, and this is the other host, Uncle Mike.
What is going on?
And it's Thanksgiving week here.
Turkey time.
On the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, man, is recording this a couple days before Thanksgiving. If you're on the road traveling to this, have a safe trip. And if you're at home with family, good luck. And otherwise, happy holidays. And if you're not in the United States and it's just Thursday, sucks to be you. At least we're off with pay, I guess. And that's a good thing because we're going to be making our way this weekend to AIW in Cleveland and an AAW in Berwyn, Illinois.
Yes.
To close out this November to Remember of great indie shows. So I've had a good month, man. I was up at the Heirloom Arts Theater in Danbury, Connecticut. Then last week I was up in Binghamton, New York at 2CW. And then this weekend I'm going to Turner's Hall and Berwyn Eagles Club. Four, like, awesome venues for wrestling, man. All in 1 month. In 3 weeks span. That's pretty awesome for me.
I'll call you Ricky Nelson. Yeah, there you go. Opening song, Traveling Man.
Traveling Man. So we'll have live reports from both them shows next weekend. Speaking of live reports, we got our buddy Outlaw Mike Falcone on the show later. As me and him and our buddy Crazy Joe adventured up to Binghamton, New York in 2CW, and we filed a live report right after the show. We will play that for you later. And but before that, we got a special guest this week, because we got AAW owner Jim Lynham back here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. He's kind of like a regular. This is his third time, as we bring him on every so often. Bullshit AAW, whatever else is on his mind. Always a fun interview, as he always has a lot to say. Yep. So we got that coming up.
Big Daddy.
But we want to say thank you for listening, man. And, if you like what you hear, we hope you listen every week. And you can find us on the internet at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That's our new home. You can go and find us on iTunes or Stitcher under Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Or you can go to our Facebook page at Facebook.com/The Uncle Mike and Tom Show. And you can like that page and our show will pop up on your timeline every Thursday. You can like us on Twitter and get the show there, at Mike Tom Show. My own personal Twitter, I always talk about indie wrestling, give live results, is at The Tom Richards. And you can also find us on the internet at our other home base at www.indiewrestlingworld.com/Uncle Mike and Tom. And that's got the archive of all 66 episodes, including the one you're listening to. Actually, it's a 67. I'm losing count. 66. This is episode 67. Get it right. Well, yeah, man. So you got all that down. Tell your friends. Tell your coworkers. Tell everybody about it.
Plants.
Let's spread the word about the best independent pro wrestlers and independent wrestling itself.
Yeah.
And with that, let me say we go get Jim Lynham on the line.
Sounds good.
And joining us up first this week on the show is one of our favorite guests who he's been here a couple of times. And we're very happy to bring him back once again this week as the owner of AAW himself, Mr. Jim Lynham, is back here on the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. Welcome back, man.
What's up, fellas? Glad to be back. My favorite show to do.
Ooh. That's what he always says, man. I love when he's fucking tapping.
Well, dude, it's serious. Every time backstage, I'll see someone. I'll go, all right, what's up? What am I going back on Uncle Mike and Tom? What's going on? we got to smack on Jerome. I go to bat for you. Every time I hear, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You guys are tired of it.
The reason we have you on is this Saturday night, man, one of the biggest AAW shows of the year, as once again, it's AAW's Windy City Classic number 9, I believe, correct?
Yeah, geez, don't tell me. I'm old. I'm getting older by the day. Yeah, dude. Kevin Steen
Yes.
Right?
And Shane Hollister at the Windy City Classic. And did you guys hear about the substitution for Monster Mafia?
Yes, man. Ricochet.
Gonna be Ricochet, a guy I've wanted to see for a long time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's two great additions to the show that haven't either never been there or haven't been there in a long-ass time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, right now, I know you guys watch the product, so just, you know, say from, you know, like 2010 on, it's just been like it's been unbelievable for me with all these guys coming in, all the new talent coming through, and it's fun to finally, you know, we can feel ourselves getting, you know, some recognition. And these guys are finally getting, you know, some of the props they deserve, because we've had a lot of guys work really hard on those shows for a really long time, and, you know, it's fantastic to be getting all these guys coming through.
Yeah, it definitely feels like finally there's some good buzz on the internet and whatnot for the company after really not being a lot of it for years.
Well, it's tough. I mean, you guys know, I'm from the East Coast. I mean, there's, you know, it's tough to build up something, you know, in the Midwest and get it really recognized. But, you know, we knew that once people started buying the DVDs, started watching on Smart Mark and stuff like that, we knew we had a good product. We knew people would start getting into it, you know, because it's, you know, like I always say, it's like a real wrestling show. There's storylines and all the videos and stuff like that. And it's really, we knew at some point, you know, it would get picked up and people would start watching. And that's kind of what's happening now, and we're really excited about it.
Well, I think the biggest thing that hit AAW this year, and it's been like one of the best things in wrestling, is the introduction of Eddie Kingston to the AAW world in the summer of events has just been unbelievably awesome.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, King is like one of the greatest kids on the planet. Does he not fit in AAW, like, perfectly?
Perfectly.
Like, you know, he comes in and he's absolutely... it's like balls to the wall. He's insane out there, and the crowd reacts to him. And he's, you know, we all know he's a great wrestler. And it's just, it was like, we've been wanting Eddie Kingston forever. And, you know, I'm just glad. I mean, it worked out 10 times better than we thought, and we thought it would be great. And he's so great in the shows that it's just, I mean, it's fantastic. So when a guy comes like that in, yeah, it was like a big kind of like, oh, well, what's Eddie Kingston doing in AAW kind of deal? And, you know, his storyline with Silas was fantastic. And, you know, it's all, you know, we've had these good guys. And, you know, I guess sometimes when a guy all of a sudden, you know, pops up in there, you know, it causes a little stir and people want to know what's going on with all these guys. You add him to, like, Davey, and when Sammy was there, and Samurai, and you know, all those guys, Elgin, and these guys have been killing it. And you know, it's just great for people to, you know, go, yeah, while there is something going on in AAW, and that we've been waiting for years for that.
Exactly. And he's been performances from Eddie Kingston, some of the best of his career.
Yeah.
You know what? I am absolutely, and you know, I'm still blown away every time, you know, especially when we're in Berwyn and they go out there, you know, the guys can feel that crowd, but these guys come in and bust their ass for us. I mean, they really do. It blows me away every single time. You know, Dave Richards and Kyle O'Reilly have been killing it there, and Elgin and all these guys, they come in and they want to light up the world, because, you know, those people go nuts. Wait until you guys show up and see it. You can feel it in the crowd, because you can feel as a wrestler, or like, say I'm going out and giving a speech, you can feel when you're losing them.
Right. Yeah.
And you can feel that energy, because they're literally 3 feet away from you with just police guards between you and them. And you can feel when, uh-oh, this is not going well. This is not good. Although, you know, Danny has that feeling every 3 seconds during a show, which is a little hard to deal with the Mad Greek when he's doing that. But I think it energizes guys. Look at ACH. ACH has been nuts, Irish airborne. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something about that crowd. And they'll tell you when they come back, they're like, wow, that crowd is insane tonight. And that's kind of what, you know, what I think pushes these guys. And as soon as King came in and he went out to that ring, I think he knew. He goes, this is a place I can really go nuts with my character. And I can really put on a show here. And he does. And it's amazing to watch.
Yeah. And on top of that, his backstage promos, man. I think he's like one of the best promo guys in the business and doesn't get the credit.
I 100%. I mean, it's, you don't even have, you know, there's some guys where I got to go, and, you know, one of us goes with them and kind of gives them the idea, blah, blah, blah. We just tell, you go, Eddie, here, this is what we want. They go, all right. That's it. You don't need to tell Eddie anything. You know, the guy just can riff on a promo, and it's always sounds fantastic. When we played that promo, that first one when he was coming to AAW, originally we weren't going to play it at the show that night, and someone put it on the screen. And I watched it. I said to Danny, I don't give a crap. I don't give a shit. We're playing that promo. That goes on tonight because it's amazing. And ever since then, it's been, you know, he knocks out of the park all the time.
Every time.
And added, plus he's also great on commentary too when he jumps in the commentary booth.
I don't know if there's much he can't do, and it seems to be someone, you know, eventually is going to have to take a look at him.
Definitely.
You know, I think from WWE, he's going to have to take, he's in fantastic shape. I mean, he's obviously, you know, his in-ring work is fantastic, and his promos are unbelievable. I haven't looked at him yet.
I know. They're so, like, hardcore in how they want you to look a certain way, and they want everyone to look the same. And sometimes you got to throw all that out and just look at the people that connect, you know, and take a chance.
Well, I don't think King's a big dude. He's like 6'2", 6'3", you know, probably about 6'2", or whatever. And, you know, he's a big dude, too. It's not like he's far off, you know, what they're actually looking for.
No.
And, you know, I don't believe in crap anyway. That's bullshit. I think if you wrestle, if you're a good wrestler, you're a good wrestler.
Exactly.
And I think that that's what they're doing with, you know, like with Baby and Edwards showing up on NXT. I think they need to do more of that. Here, you can wrestle, go. Just go. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Yeah. Because most of these guys can go. Most of these guys are better than the guys that go. You know? And you know, you could tell Kingston, all right, cut a promo and go out there and wrestle. Tell me that access wouldn't get over in WWE. That thing is killer.
Totally.
So, you know, I'm hoping that people, you know, people really pick up on you know, on the Kingston thing, and he deserves a shot because it is, you know, he's doing some great work, and if you can't recognize that, it makes those little tape in wrestling business, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And another guy that's made his mark this year, a younger guy in the business that's really just starting to break out, Christian Rose.
Yeah.
Has finally entered for an AAW.
Yeah, he's been good. I mean, he's still young, and you know, we're still, you know, we're, you know, Danny works with him and everything else. So, you know, listen, we need the influx of new young guys, because I just got a feeling that you're going to see even more guys shine pretty soon.
Oh, good.
And what, you know, what is an independent company going to do? You know, you got to find the new guys. So we're working in, you know, some new guy in house. Colton is the wrestling person. I don't know if you watched him lately. He looks real good. You know, as far as, you know, newer guys in there, and you know, Christian and Matt Cage is probably going to be a good one.
Yeah, Matt Cage is another one.
Yeah, Matt Cage is looking real good. Of course, you know, ACH is, you know, he's kind of already a star, but he's amazing. And he's, what is it, 21 years old. The kid's, I mean, he'll be gone. So, I mean, when you got a chance to get a talent doing what he does, you know, I don't think he's long for. And he's very smart. You know, he's not rushing in to do anything. And you know, he's trying to learn as much as he can. But he's so athletic that I think a lot of it comes easy to him. And it's good. So, you know, the more young guys, I was talking to someone the other day, I said, you know, the best thing that has happened is WWE starting to sign indie guys. Because I think guys in the independent wrestling world, they have that dream of going to WWE, no matter what. They all have that dream. Yeah. Everybody. And I still have that dream. No one is calling me, unfortunately. No one wants a slightly heavyset 40-year-old. I think I got the look. I think I might have a look for him. I can yap. But I think in signing, it gives guys incentive to want to be better.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a long time, you know, it's been, you know, it's not like the Attitude Era when WWE is averaging like a 6-4 and you have all your casual fans walking around wanting to you know, to show up at shows. And so, you know, it's not easy to get a crowd. You got to build one. So, you know, you've got to look to other, you know, other reasons to be a pro wrestler. And if you think, listen, I got a shot. If I take this seriously and I work my ass off, a shot may come look. I think you're going to see a bigger influx in talent because we rode that UFC wave where everybody, you know, they predicted that, you know, a UFC training center would be on every single, you know, every corner. It would be like, and it never really, you know, came to fruition.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, MMA, I think, has hit kind of where it is. People know about it. You know, even Dana White came out and said the other day that, you know, we're not mainstream yet. And they may never be, but we've rode that big wave, that big push of UFC is going to be the next big thing, and all the talent's going to leave and go to there, and we've seen that hasn't happened. No. So you know, a lot of good athletes and a lot of guys want to take this seriously and learn to wrestle. If you have that incentive to maybe someday I can go to WWE, I think you're going to see an influx of guys now. And that's what I'm hoping. I mean, if I knew growing up, because when we were growing up, I mean, I didn't know they had wrestling schools. I mean, you'd have to be really hardcore to go find, you know, Killer Kowalski to go train you. Yeah. You know, I was going, you know, I wasn't going to do that. You know, besides the fact my dad said I was insane and asked me to leave the house. But now, you know, you can find places to get good training, and there's guys around who can do it. And I really think that, you know, we might see some. I love the fact that I'm optimistic about the talent that will enter the independent scene. I just hope that it's true. I think that we're on the cusp of getting really, really good guys, because I think that you know, when you see Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards pop up on NXT, that's completely out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know, and it was cool to see that, you know, that someone who was wrestling at one of my shows a month ago could pop up and be on NXT. That is cool as hell to think, you know, other guys will see that and hopefully, you know, light a fire on their ass and have them really take this stuff seriously.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But yeah, I totally agree, though. There's, like, so many good young wrestlers all over the country these days on the indie scene, man. It's just like when one guy gets signed, there's like three more guys to take his place.
Yep, yes, there is.
Yeah, there's that. That's what I think it is. There's that excitement. Who's going to be next? You know, they took Sammy Callahan. They took Samurai. They took, you know, took a guy like Pac. You know, to me, I'm like, wow, I can't believe he was on the radar.
I know.
People know Pac. Riesel's like a big fan. So he's going around and looking at these guys and going to bat for them. And I think that's the cool. Him and Finley, those guys tell me they don't know wrestling. if they're coming to you and going, you need to try these guys out. Because the story I read supposedly was that, you know, that originally, you know, they kind of cooled on, on Eddie and Davey, and Regal went back and said, no, you've got to look at these guys.
Yeah.
So they said, all right, well, we'll just throw them out there. And I heard they killed. So, I mean, Davey, you tell me Davey doesn't look like a WWE guy? You're insane. That's you know. Same with Eddie. Eddie's a big dude too. Eddie wrestled for us. You know, it's just so cool to see that you could see these guys slowly getting pulled in. Cause for a long time, what you heard was that they're looking for big bodybuilder types.
Yep.
But those guys aren't all athletic.
No.
I would say a lot of them aren't because they've gotten, you know, the big bulky guys and they're not concentrating on the athletic side of things. These guys are actually doing it maybe 3-4 times a week, you know. How do you combat that? You can't teach that. These guys have gone all over and done this stuff. I mean, you've really got to look at them and go, this is probably where we should be getting our talent from.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And in front of all different types of crowds and people, too.
Well, you know, I think sometimes when you get up that high, you forget that a lot of these guys are going out in front. They may go out and wrestle in front of, if you wrestle for Ring of Honor, maybe a couple thousand or whatever, or, you know, whatever. And then, or they may be in the middle of a Bumble wrestling in front of 40 people.
Yep.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of these guys forget the humility of, I'm talking like the higher ups, forget the humility that it builds in you having to walk out in front of 40 people and still put on a show. Still bust your ass because someone flew you in or, you know, whatever, you know, if you're a top independent guy, you know, you feel that need to go out there and put on some kind of show, even though, you know, you wrestle in front of 40 people. That builds something in you. All of that builds something in you. So when you go out there in front of a WWE crowd, you're going to work your ass off to get over. They're going to do everything to get over instead of some guy worrying about, you know, 10 million things about missing an arm drag or whatever because he's brand new. These guys are thinking ahead, like, I've got to get over with this crowd.
Yeah.
And that gets lost on them, I think. I think as more guys from the independent scene work their way up into, you know, positions with WWE as road managers and stuff like that, with like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, if they choose to stay in WWE, you're going to see a lot more knowledge about what's going on in the independent scene.
Right.
Because those guys in there really didn't do a lot of the independent scene stuff. And I think another thing that's happened is a lot of these guys who got let go and had to go out on the independent scene and then got rehired by WWE, they're now in training positions down in the training center. So they were out with all these guys and now are going, this guy is wherever he was, this guy in California or this guy, you know, is in Chicago or in New Jersey or New York or whatever. They know about these guys now. So that's why you're seeing a lot of this stuff work in, which I think is really cool because this is what the territory system was back then.
Exactly.
You know, for these guys, there is no more territory system. There's two companies basically, and then you have Ring of Honor, and then you have the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, independent companies. And I'm not saying not all of them are great companies, but this is where your talent pool should come from. This is your minor leagues.
Yeah.
This is where you go down and you go, all right, I've seen this guy, let's put him in a match. Let's see what he can do. Cause you don't have to put him in the training center and go, okay, let's learn how to hit the ropes. You're not starting from scratch like that.
Exactly.
You're going, okay, put together a match and go out there. That's what NXT should probably, you know, should really take a hold of, is that independent spirit. I think they are kind of, you know, with Dusty Rhodes down there and Regal and Pinley and Sarah Del Rey and Joey Mercury and all these guys. They know what's going on out what we're doing. So that's a really important part.
Yeah,
they seem like they're doing a better job more recently and bringing in a lot more indie talent. And I think it's one of them things, like, they get so caught up in the size people are and their look, and I think they should look more at the people that are getting over and connecting on the indie scene. I think if you can get over and connect With a small crowd, you can probably do it with a large crowd, too, and that's the type of people they should be signing.
Yeah.
Well, there's still, sometimes I think they're still stuck in that, like, 80s mode of the superhero look. Like, every guy's got to look like a superhero.
Exactly.
And you know, has to be a certain size or whatever. But, you know, Steve Austin didn't look like a superhero.
Exactly.
You know, these were characters. And you know, and I know The Rock was larger than life, but Foley didn't look like that. I mean, there's plenty of guys you could point to and go, they're, you know, I'm taller than Ric Flair. I mean, that's not the point. I think they'll get it, but they still get stuck on, you know, because they think larger than life characters is what people want to see in the ring.
Yeah.
But when they really got hot is when they had these insane storylines that got people over. It was because Stone Cold hated his boss and gave him the finger. It wasn't because Stone Cold was bald.
No.
And had big muscles. You know, they forget. Because I think sometimes they get frustrated, like the Cena thing, and, you know, Cena gets booed and everything else. That should teach you right there. Just because you have big muscles, not everybody's going to buy into it. In fact, it may turn some people on you, actually.
Yeah.
So I just hope that they really start to identify with I think they will. I think it's just a matter of, I think Triple H is almost there. I think he's done a good job getting, you know, he's the one, yeah, the final say of bringing these guys in. So, you know, hopefully he keeps going down that path.
Yeah. I've lost all faith in when it like smacks him right in the face, like currently at Daniel Bryan, and they like just don't seem to be willing, you know, to let somebody go and get behind them, you know.
Well, that one is kind of lost on me a little bit. I think that part of this is they know he's so over that he doesn't need a belt. I mean, Daniel Bryan can ride this wave for another 5 years. People don't get sick of, you know, they have this picture of their champion or whatever, and it's odd, but he doesn't need a belt to get over.
True.
So. You know, I think they had to put it on Orton because I think Orton got in a real weird place where people didn't know, you know, exactly. They switched them back and forth so many times and, you know, how many times can we do it and get away with it? And, you know, sometimes you got to give them a belt to get them back over. But, you know, I think his time will come. I think they're going to have to. They're going to have to put, you know, do something with him. I mean, you think that they thought that change in him getting over?
Right. Yeah.
Do you really? I remember seeing the first time going, what is this? And slowly I went, wow, this is brilliant. He's brilliant. Because he's really, they're really playing it up. And Kane is always, Undertaker is like one of the best big men who I think doesn't get enough credit ever. I mean, he's, you know, everybody, you know, talks about The Undertaker and everything. Kane has been awesome for how many years?
Yeah.
And as his character, like, he gets no, he went from being a guy with a burn face to doing a comedy act.
Right.
You know? And no one said, oh, we're sick of Kane. I've never seen anybody go, boy, I am sick of Kane. Because he's always there and he's always doing something interesting. So, you know, listen, Daniel Bryan is so over, and he's making so much money on merchandising. Merchandise, I'm sure he doesn't care either way. It's like Santino Morello argument. Oh, all he does is go out there. Yeah, all he does is go out there, walk around the ring, get in the ring, get punched, may win, may lose, and walk to the back, and his night's done. And you know how many T-shirts and those dumb Cobra things he sells?
Yeah. You need that, though.
He's got the greatest job in WWE.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know anybody could say that he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's exactly what he should be. He doesn't want to be anymore. And, you know, I think Daniel Bryan's pretty happy right now, and I think eventually they've got it. They'll do something with him because it's going to get too big to... Yeah, you know, they're going to punk together if I can. They're looking for him not to get over. This is probably the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Punk, so it's just, you know. And they never thought Punk would get over. You know, they're slowly, you know, look at Brody Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's a member of the Wyatt family, who, again, is, I'm so mad we never got Brody Lee in AEW.
Yeah.
I'm so mad. I would have loved that. I mean, look at Tyler Black and the whole Shield crew.
Yeah.
You know, these are all independent guys. But Dean Ambrose was great on the independents.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler has been great forever. So it's not, they have enough evidence now. There's plenty of reasons to go out on the independents and get guys. So, you know, I think eventually they'll straight up get it right because they're just going to get too much. They have to give them a run, at least. Give them a run for a while.
They have to, yes. You can only hold that down for so long when your crowd is right off the bat the minute you go on the air and they're chanting yes the first second the damn show starts. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it makes me wonder what happened with the Fandango thing. A gimmick that shouldn't get over, that's corny, that's very 80s,
yeah.
And it got the whole crowd to sing it, and the guy's kind of been nowhere since.
Yeah.
They kind of had it, and he's not a bad wrestler.
No. Don't get a concussion.
Yeah, don't get a concussion, or they don't forgive you.
No.
You know what, Jim? When he came out, I said to Tom, the very first time he came out dancing, I looked, I'm like, oh my fucking God. They're not doing this, are they? And I said to Tom, I said, I don't give this 2 weeks. I can't see it. He proved me wrong. He proved me fucking wrong. I didn't think that thing stood a chance to win.
It's that song that people started singing. You know, I think that's what got people into it. And then I think the contrast of the dancing thing, he was such a jerk. It was a good gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won me over. I think he's a real good wrestler, real good worker. At the time, I just didn't think that was right, like the dance, and I just was like, oh, man, this ain't going to work. But he made it work.
He made it work. And you know what? So many guys tell you that, you know, when they go through that curtain, even if it's a bad gimmick, you got to do everything you can to make it work.
Yeah.
Everything you possibly can, because you may not get another shot. And the way if your character doesn't get over, the way you get another shot is, well, he went out there and he busted his ass. He didn't go out there and mope and go, oh, this sucks. It's never going to get over. You know, you whatever they give you, you got to go with.
Right.
Dusty Rhodes made those polka dots popular for me. Right.
Yeah.
While we're talking about Major League Wrestling, moving to TNA for a second, while we hear goofy shit like Billy Corgan wants to buy the company, how come we don't hear Jim Lynam and the AAW guys are going to buy the company and save pro wrestling?
First of all, we have enough trouble running AAW. My partner would have a heart attack. We'd have to keep telling every show because he'd go out. Just, no, Danny would lose it. But he'd be yelling at guys to make a lot of money. I don't know. To be honest with you, I really don't think it can be. I think it is hit. It's got to go away and be reinvented.
Yeah.
And, you know, Spike's not going to let that happen because it's their highest rated show. It's pulling pulls a one, sometimes it's a 1-2. It's they're using, you know, they did the Aces of Extinct and Kill It, which didn't really make a ton of sense. If you're going to go with something, you try to make it work, because then it looks like there's another TNA storyline that didn't get finished up.
Right.
There's so many problems. I don't know if there's anybody who's going to walk in there and buy that company and go, here's what we're going to do, and save it. I just don't see how it can be saved. It's never been competition really for WWE.
No.
It's never what it was supposed to do. I mean, you know, it's just, to me, it's like, I don't hear anybody talking about it.
No.
Yeah. I hear people talk about the independent scene when I hear them talk about TNA.
But here's all, it's like good and bad. Like, everybody that's a wrestling fan knows TNA exists. They've gotten that far where everybody that knows anything about wrestling knows what TNA is, just nobody seems to like it or care about it or, like, are a fan of it, you know?
They don't give you any reason to really,
oh, exactly,
really block.
So everybody knows what it is, but everybody thinks it sucks, so it's like a ruined brand, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You've got to erase it, but the name's not great anyway.
No.
So, you know, total nonstop action. I know when it was back being on the pay-per-view weekly,
yeah,
it was supposed to be a play on, you know, on boobs and ass, I guess, but,
yeah,
you know, we've got to move on. We've got something else out. Because there's a lot of guys wasted there. You know, I heard WWE was going to book it at AJ Styles or whatever, and that, you know, that would have been good, but I'm sure he doesn't want to take, I'm sure he's going to offer him the money he's getting from TNA.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys that, listen, TNA should have started as a completely separate company. They should have gone to the indies. They should have found the best guys out there and put together their own show.
Yep.
Instead, they tried to do the quick and easy by putting old guys in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's never going to work. It's even on the independent scene, it's almost the same exact thing. When you see like a guy who books, you know, the older wrestlers, that's a different kind of show than like what we're doing.
Yeah.
You're just looking to make money off an appearance of an older. There's one company that does it well. Down by, you ever hear of Dreamwave?
Yes.
They do it well because they incorporate, you know, they bring down one guy as,
yeah,
as
every,
you know,
every
usually,
show
and then,
like one big star on it from like,
yeah, but they're usually, you know, they really push their own guys. But I'm more talking about you know, the these guys who, you know, bring in these old guys just to pop a crowd. It's like that's kind of what their TNA tried to do. They tried to pop an audience by,
yeah,
putting on Hogan on TV and stuff like that. And it just, it doesn't garner you an audience in the long term because you're not cultivating your young guys to take over when these guys, and you can slowly push these guys out.
Exactly.
You know, it's a weird thing when you're going to take 60-year-old men and put them on TV and ask them to carry a company of that you're trying to start up. You know, they put it all on Hogan and Sting and Kurt Angle and all these guys. You know, but where's your young talent coming from? Who are your up and comers? You know, to me, they're lucky that Bully Ray turned out to be as good as he is,
yeah,
as a single, because I don't know what anybody be talking about TNA. You know, they really had a shot to drag in these independent dudes and go, okay, we're going to build around you, and then a couple of guys, you put Hogan as commissioner or whatever, or you know, whatever you want to bring Sting, because they're kind of exceptional little rule because Angle's awesome. So, But you slowly gotta promote all your young guys. Like Bobby Roode should be in the WWE right now.
Oh, fuck
yeah. I don't think he didn't believe, you know. Bobby Roode and James Stone should be running as a tag team right now and redo the whole beer money thing. Right now. Just go.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, I see guys that are there that shouldn't be there anymore because I just gotta feel. I don't know what's going on. I mean, you know, Dixie Carter's out there on TV all the time. You know, it's very confusing. I'm confused. What the hell is going? You know, what the hell is going on? There's a Main Event Mafia is reforming, but Samoa Joe is in the Main Event Mafia, and then Magnus. You know, it's very strange to me. Discombobulated.
Yeah.
And they flung the fight Ace and Bates, but now they're completely broken up Ace and Bates in a match.
Man.
In the real world, what gang would you know put two guys in a ring and go, okay, if I win, you have to disband the Ace of Bates? I'd be like, no. Wouldn't you just go back and go, okay, and then after the fight, if you lose, you go, okay, we're still together. I mean, that's true. It makes no sense. It's like a loser leaves town match in 1982 when, you know, Al Perez had to leave the Northwest Territory to go to, he had to go back down to Texas, so he loses through, you know, Billy Jack Hayes or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the people complain about it back then. First of all, they thought wrestling was still, second of all, he was gone. He literally left town. Now,
exactly.
What are they going to do with these rest of the guys in Aces and Eights?
They're going to put them all back together.
Are they separate motorcycle guys now? I mean, I don't know. And is Taz? What is Taz now?
I think they forgot Taz was part of it until like the last two episodes anyway.
To me, TNA asks a lot of their fans. To just completely forget things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, especially
completely forget them.
Just make me a promise that in AAW we're not going to get the heel Jim Lynham owner role that's playing the heel authority figure screwing everything up.
The Lynham train. We're jumping on the Lynham train.
Yeah, well, me and Danny talked about that a while ago, a couple of years ago, and I was like, yeah. He's like, dude, we were talking about something, and we're just like, how stupid would it be if I now decided I was evil, and I this is my new character, and I asked the people to then, you know, still like me, and it's just, it's too odd. It's too strange, you know? My real personality is that I like my friends as ever. I'm not a manager anymore or any of that crap. So no reason to be have the evil owner role, you know? Then you can get a guy to be someone else to be evil. We have an evil manager, have an evil whatever. But, you know, the owner should kind of be, you know, on the up and up.
To me, it was always stupid. It's like, well, this guy's such a dick. Why am I going to give him my money and come to the show?
Exactly. That's what Danny said. He goes, dude, if you're a jerk, I wouldn't want to come see your show.
Yeah, true.
You know? So, I mean, of course, it's very different, you know, when you're in WWE and you have evil. Even that wears on me.
Yeah.
It's been wearing played on out for bit. Years, the heel authority thing.
Yeah.
Let someone else do it. Let someone else be the bad guy. You know, you're trying to get, you caught lighting the bottle once with the Stone Cold McMahon thing. And I like the opposite. I like McMahon to be a good guy who just wants everybody to have a good time.
Right.
Instead of having Triple H, Stephanie, you know, screw them in every time. You're like, they screwed Big Show every week. And so like, okay, it's the same every week. I don't want to see that, you know. You always want to see a guy go up. You've got to book a show, you know, to leave the crowd going home feeling good or bad, but you can't just keep sending home bad.
Yeah.
Because eventually they're going to get depressed. Like, the Big Show's getting beaten up again. He's 7'2". He's 900 pounds. Can he get one good punch in?
Right.
You know? And well, he finally did. I was like, oh, thank God. You're firing everybody and everything. I mean, it's just so, do you really believe the guy is fired? I think sometimes they ask like a little too much, you know, like, yeah, you're fired. No, he's not fired. Can we do something better than firing? There's got to be something better. Injure him.
Right.
You know, or do a great story. I don't know. The evil stuff, you know, the evil owner or whatever stuff wears up a little bit.
Definitely.
You know, like they turned Dixie Carter evil.
Yeah.
Why is she evil now?
Because that's the way it were.
What's the hell she evil for? Come on. And so, no, she's a bad guy. The man's a bad. So all these owners are bad guys.
Yeah. And then they wonder why all their buy rates are down.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, Dixie's pretty good on the mic. I was shocked that week after week. I actually think she's pretty funny. I get a kick out of her.
I wish I could comment. I really don't know. I don't know.
You're better.
But I think
I think
when you, as an owner, insert yourself in storylines, it's got to be fantastic because if it's not, you're the owner of the company and you look like a douche.
Yeah.
if people aren't buying into it, you go, ugh, now I stink on my own show. You know, now this is, I'm involved in a horrible storyline, and I own the place, and I got to go tell people that this is good. You know, it's tough to do. So it better be, when it's down on paper and everybody's talking about it, it better be a great idea.
Yeah. I think she was inserted for different reasons, though.
What, because she's hot?
No.
I think it's the old play, the oldest play in the book is when things are going bad and you're a booker, you put the owner on TV and they're all happy because they're a star and they won't fire you. But Bischoff got fired anyway.
That's what I think is what happened.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it's like
I don't even know who writes for them. Who writes for them?
Who knows?
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if that's the reason, then they're going to roll it.
That's what I think happened there.
Dixie, here's a great idea. We're going to put you on TV.
Yep.
Oh, boy. That is a great idea.
Whoever said it to her is our best friend.
Yeah.
Her new best
friend. Well, we can't get rid of him. He put me on TV.
There you go.
So getting back to AAW.
Yes.
2013's been a pretty interesting year for you guys, man. You ran some new buildings that you didn't run before.
Yep, we ran a few new buildings, and we've seen some good success at some different buildings. But, you know, we'll do a little bit of that in 2014. But, you know, mostly, we really find it hard to, we really love that building in Bar One. It's, you know, I just can't wait for you guys to get there and just feel that. That energy, the craziness that is you know, in that building. So yeah, we've had a really good year. Yeah, I'm really excited about the wrestling that's been going on, and you know, product is growing, getting better. We're getting, you know, more ideas. Just see a lot more stuff in 2013. A lot more stuff going out over the internet, a lot more, you know, we've been turning our DVDs around real quick, which we're real happy about. Everything, you know, gets up much smart. They just getting the stuff up real quick. Yeah. It's been crazy. It's been a crazy year. When you finally feel that, wow, people are starting to pay attention, it really feels good. Like, all this work has been worth something, and, you know, the fans have been fantastic, and, you know, it's really paying off, and you know, we appreciate it immensely. Guys like you talk about it, you guys talk about us, and just getting that word out there, and you know, watching the building be filled, and I always said we don't take any money home from AAW, any of the owners, me or Danny or anybody. So anything we get, The crowds building has only helped us grow the product, and the fans buying the DVDs. It all, you know, they know when they're buying something from us, it's not going in our pocket. It's going right back into the product. Every dime that's going right back into the product to make the you know, our setup better, make you know, video equipment, anything that they're buying, you know, it's going back into the company, and I think they feel a part of that, which is really cool. So, you know, 2013 was great. Now we have to build on it and be even better in 2014.
Yeah, and it's always good to hear as a fan.
Oh, yeah.
And a shout-out to Mike Robles, man, getting them DVDs out, like, lickety-split, man.
Yeah, Mike's a good guy. I love Mike.
Oh, I bet you do. We love him, too.
Yeah, he's a guy. So, yeah, they done such a good job for us and everything else. So it's fun to watch, but I think even as long as we always have the outlook that next year is going to be even better, which we do, that's the whole thing. And, you know, and I like having that trust with our fan base that they know, you know, we're not in this to make money. Until someday someone offers us millions of dollars to buy AAW, that most likely is not going to happen. So until that day, any money they spend, they know that money is going to give them an even better show. A guy who haven't seen come in and wrestle for us.
Yeah. Thank God.
You never know when Billy Corgan gives up on TNA. Maybe he'll turn around and throw you all the millions of dollars for AEW.
Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. Oh, but I know that right now. But yeah, you could probably offer Danny about $10 at some shows. He may give it to me.
Wow. Oh.
Danny, I'll buy you a vodka cranberry. Can I have AAW? It's yours. Take it. I don't want it.
Oh, boy.
You just put the title on Shane Hollister this year, man. All you talk about the job he's done being the champion for a good chunk of the year now.
Well, Shane has been unbelievable. I really hope, you know, as I always say every time I'm on your show, that I really, really hope that this is the year that he gets all over the place. That he really, people need to watch his work in AAW because it has been some of the best work that any wrestler has done in the country this year.
Yeah.
I really think that. He's grown leaps and bounds. He's finally getting some credit, but he really, you know, I just think people need to go and watch the DVDs and really see what this guy has done and how much better he's gotten in the last 2 years. Insane how good he's gotten.
Totally. Couldn't agree more. He finally got some exposure on the East Coast with CZW at least.
Yeah, he's got to get out and get places. He's, you know, he started with us so long ago, and you know he's still young, but he's such a talented guy that you know he's not the biggest guy in the world. You know, I joke with him about that, but he's really talented. So. You know, he's good enough to wear the AAW belt, that's for sure, and some really good guys have worn that belt. And he pulls it off. He pulls it off.
Yeah.
His character's fantastic. He's really grown into the spot.
Definitely.
You know, he's really grown into that top guy spot, which is really, really fun to watch a guy go from starting out with us to growing into that guy who can help lead your company.
Yeah.
You know who else did that was Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler Black did that. And he ended up in WWE. So, Shane, the sky's the limit for him. I think that hopefully he'll get a lot more exposure this coming year. And he'll really set off to some places and get, you know, maybe go over to Japan or something like that, because I think he really has found, he's really hit his stride as far as his character and his wrestling ability, and I think that'll carry over for a long time.
Yeah,
and he got a good thing going on with him and Marcus Crane and Scarlett and Dan Lawrence. It's a good little stable. Yeah. They really work well off of each other.
I'll tell you this, and Marcus wouldn't care me saying this at all. Marcus is an idiot. And he is perfect in his role. He's crazy. He's absolutely insane. I tell him that all the time. And there's another guy. You want to talk about a character guy? Look at Marcus Crane. He's absolutely insane. I mean, and he takes these crazy bumps that are just ridiculous. He kills himself, but he's great in promos, and he's great out by the ring, and he's funny in matches. He's that little group has really done well, and then throwing Dan Lawrence in there. Talk about another guy who reinvented himself again.
Yeah.
Dan Lawrence, who, you know, is, you know, he's always like, you know, he goes, I don't know if I want to be a bad guy, where Dan is going to work. Dan goes out to the ring. It works. He's really done a good job. And that little group, the dynamic they have between them has just worked out insanely. It's great. It's great. So that whole group has kind of, as Shane has grown into his character, putting those guys with him was a really, you know, really great idea that has really helped elevate, it elevated Marcus Crane, and it really helped, you know, Dan's turn as into a bad guy again.
Yeah.
Which you can't, you know, you got to give Shane a lot of credit because he helped everybody get to where they were going. So I can't say enough about, you know, what those guys have done this year.
Yeah. You know who else? Kevin Harvey's group really exploded, I thought, this year, too.
And yeah, he, you know, they, Kevin's done a really nice job with them.
I didn't mean to cut you, but each show, Nikki Mayday just constantly just blowing me away, just stupid small stuff, you know what I mean? Just totally excellent, real good.
Yeah, you know, Kevin has done a nice job with the group, you know, and you know, I think we, it really helped elevate Lamar Titan, who's, you know, another underrated guy who's still young, who's getting better, and will continue to get better. We lost Tweak for a little while. He got hurt. But he's another guy who I was saying to someone the other day, I'm like, man, you know, if the Phoenix Twins were still together and they were still wrestling, they would, I don't know how much you guys ever saw them. But they'd be down in NXT right now. I mean, they're bigger dudes. They're twins. They both can wrestle real well. And, he's done a real nice job with helping, you know, with helping Lamar and everything. And then Keith has done a nice, a real good job with his role in this group. Really has.
And he's gotten in ridiculous, incredible shape.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
Walking Terminator.
You know, Keith likes to, like, give people chops. And I've got to warn him. I'm like, man, you stop my heart if you give me a chop in the wrong place. He's just a monster.
Yeah.
He's absolutely a monster. And he's in better shape than he was when he was going to Japan.
Yeah.
He's absolutely in amazing shape. And his in-ring work has gotten better, I think, since Japan.
Yeah,
definitely.
This is the best he's looked in the ring in a long time. And, you know, we try to tell him as much as possible because I don't think he believes us sometimes.
Yeah.
But, that whole group has just done a really, really, really good job. And, you know, it's things like that. And those are, you know, there's a lot of, there are a lot of homegrown guys here. You know, we're not talking about like the Davies and the Michaels and Michael Elgin's and all those other guys. These are guys who are, you know, homegrown AAW guys who are really knocking it out of the park for us. Because it's important. You know, we have a lot of big names that are involved in storylines, you know, in AAW. But there's also guys you may not know or may sort of know that are really, really doing an unbelievable job. And you have to have that. If you're going to have any kind of success, you can't just bring in, you know, throw guys in a ring. There's got to be a rhyme and a reason to it. And I think that, you know, these guys are glue that stuff all together, because guys are not going to come and want to work for us if we don't have good guys to put them against.
Right.
You know, if they're coming to AAW and you can't have guys that you already have that you can say, all right, we're going to put you in the ring with this guy, and they don't feel confident about it, you know, you're going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. For a long time, that guy was, you know, bridging the kind of the Tyler era into this era now. That was Silas Young. Silas, you could tell, you know, where Silas didn't have a huge buzz when he was, you know, first wrestling with us and everything, but guys would come in and want to work him. You know, Silas worked, you know, Brian Danielson, and you know, he's worked, you know, a million different guys coming in from Davey. You know, we put him with King when King came in. You know, Silas is, you know, I know every time on a show I put it, I can't talk enough about Silas, but Silas is so good. and he was so important. He was such an important part to the growth of AAW. Really was, because you had this guy that you could put these good guys against, and you knew he was going to have a good match, and they would want to wrestle. You know, because when they left, someone else would say something, you know, or maybe pass it on to Edge. You know, I wrestled Silas in AEW, and, you know, we had a really good match or whatever. And that helped Silas get out into, like, you know, Ring of Honor and all that other stuff. So that's an important part. So having these groups, you know, having, you know, We Are Coming and having, you know, Shane Hollisters and all these other guys are really important. And it's just icing on the cake that it's working out so well.
Yeah.
Definitely. Another thing you did this summer that was different, you did the Super Summer Sizzler charity show.
Yeah. We decided to do like a charity show for along with the Eagles Club, you know, because we just thought, like, you know, there was a reason to give back to, you know, to the building, you know, help with the charity. You know, it's a good thing to do. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the building has been a big part of our popularity, and the feeling of that building has really helped propel us. And, you know, that's when you put on a charity show, it's just a thank you. Right. You know, it's a thank you to say, you know, hey, you know, and we hope to do more in 2014. Maybe do a couple of charity shows. You know, find some local charities. What I've always wanted to do is find a charity that, you know, specifically we work with in AAW and you know, do a couple of shows a year for them or you know, whatever we can do for them, you know, to raise money. Because it's, you know, to me, it's, you know, it's important to you know, you got to give back something. You can't just take all the time. So, you know, it's not a hard thing to do. It's not a task to do. It's just something, you know, it's a good thing to do. You know, I think it's the least you can do sometimes, just to, you know, pick a charity, run a show and get some money, you know, to people who need it.
Yeah,
now that's, you know.
Yeah. Especially in this economy, you know, if these people need the help.
Yeah, you know, it's any charity, you know, that's why we don't gouge our fans for ticket prices. You know, we try to keep it as low as possible because we know some of our fans, you know, save up to be able to bring them and, you know, them and their friends or whatever, you know, save up to come to a show. It may sound fun to someone to say, put $20 aside to go to AEW or whatever, you know, pay for the beer and the ticket and whatever. But, you know, the economy isn't great and people aren't making that much money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not funny to think that someone saved, you know, just a little bit of money to be able to go to AAW. And, you know, I respect that. So, you know, you could charge a lot of money to get in. You know, we have to keep the budget tight and we've got to watch how we spend money. But that's just because we know that you cannot bleed your fans dry. You cannot ask too much from them because it's not fair to them. And believe me, you won't have an audience very long if you constantly are gouging them for money. It just won't work. So you have to be very aware of the situation, the money situation, because it's unfair to always have your hand out, you know, asking for more. So we do our best to keep our ticket prices down and give everybody who comes in that door their money's worth. That's always been important to us, you know, no matter what we could afford or what we couldn't afford, it's always been important to us to make sure that a fan never leaves and go, wow, I just wasted, you know, 15, 20 bucks, you know.
Yeah.
It'll never keep you in a good place with the fans.
Can't go wrong at $13 a ticket for an AAW show. That's a hell of a value, man.
No. We think so. I mean, we think that's kind of worth it. It's kind of worth to see some good wrestling.
I don't remember the last time I paid $13 to go to a wrestling show anywhere. No.
Not within the last couple years.
Fun. Well, you know, like we had to upfront row tickets because you know when you're bringing in higher talent, you know, better talent, you got to pay more.
Exactly.
So, but we never raised it like $30 or anything crazy like that. You know, we put it up a little bit, and you know the fans understand because they want a better product.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how much people are willing to pay to see a better show. They're not mad at you if you go, hey, we're raising the prices $2 so we can afford to bring in, you know, better guys. Your crowd's not going to be mad at you.
No. Hey. No.
Because they're growing with you, especially if you have a good fan base. They want to see you succeed, you know, just as much as you want to succeed. They want to see the best possible guys walking through the door. So that has always been our philosophy. We're never going to ask too much from the fans money wise, but there's going to be times where we got to bump it up a little bit so you get a better show. And we've never done it. You know, we've never gone crazy and you know bump it up every 6 months or whatever. We bumped it up a couple of times in the a few times in the 9 years we've been running. And no one's ever complained. You know, no one's ever said, you know, this is way too much. And I think they understand because they love the product and want to see better guys in there.
Yeah. Packing the building every month.
Yep.
Well, yes, that's important. We need them in the building.
2014, will we see AAW invade WrestleMania weekend and get in on the festivities?
I guess it all depends. I don't think we have it planned yet. I don't have anything planned, but there may be a time that we make that decision to go down there. I don't know. You know, I don't think we've really thought about it because a lot of the times, you know, we really hyper focused on our product and drawing crowds where we're run that, you know, sometimes we don't really think about that. We're concentrated on getting our stuff out, getting it over the internet, making sure everybody can get their hands on the product. So we honestly haven't even discussed it. So I'd love to one time. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun to get, you know, in front of different fans and, you know, in a different place and, you know, hell, who wouldn't want to go to, I've been there. Nice. To been down to Louisiana. It's fun.
Well, I can imagine.
you can get drunk on the streets in New Orleans.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. So yeah, I don't know. Have they even started talking about doing something?
Well, I know like High Spots is gonna have their own thing and Gabe Sapolsky and his guys are having their own thing and you know Ring of Honor is gonna have their thing. Yeah. And,
right.
It's going to be your own scene.
Yeah. I mean, if they did something that was fun again, like National Wrestling Day or whatever, and did it down by WrestleMania, because it's the logistical nightmare of getting a place to run and you know, if you need a, you know, renting a ring or getting a ring there, getting the guys there, it's a pain in the ass. We go nuts getting guys here. Tell them to go to New Orleans. They make it crazy. But we may lose guys in New Orleans. I've drank
Marcus Crane, huh?
Please, I wouldn't even invite Crane. He's not invited. If Sammy Callahan was still wrestling first, he'd never come to the show. He's on Bourbon Street. We'll lose Hollister. Hollister's gone. I could probably name the guy. Hell, I might even lose Danny. Danny would probably go. So it'd be fun, but we'll see. We'll see if in the future if something pops up. I'm sure we'd love to have a part of it.
But something that is happening is this Saturday night, Windy City Classic 9 from the Berwyn Eagles Club in Berwyn, Illinois, 7:30 yes. p.m. bell time.
Very excited. It's going to be fun. Steen versus Hollister. You got the finals of the Allegiance Tag Team Tournament. You got Irish Airborne, Jimmy versus Jimmy Jacobs and Silas Young. And then Ethan Page and Ricochet versus Zero Gravity.
My Jesus, that's going to be something. Ricochet and Zero Gravity in the same match.
Yes. So it's going to be an insane time, completely worth the ticket. If you can't be there, I recommend getting the DVD. Oh, yeah. There's going to be plenty of other people. You know, Heidi Lovelace is now with us. I think keeps getting better and better for us, by the way. Is she's on the show. Mischief will be there. Heather Patero will be there. You know, it's going to be a phenomenal. It's going to be a phenomenal show. And I'm glad you guys are coming.
And we're coming. It's 10
definitely,
hours.
Definitely one to be at, and it'll blow everybody away.
Yes.
What else can you do on Thanksgiving weekend? By Saturday, you'll be sick of your family. Why not go out and see a great wrestling show?
I couldn't agree with you more. Get out of town is the best way to get away from your family.
And see the new family.
Yeah.
That's right, the AAW family, right, which will be just as fun, I promise you. Just as fun.
And we're going to be there, man.
Can't wait to meet
you. It's our new Thanksgiving tradition. Every year we come out to Chicago for AAW.
Absolutely. We'll show you a good time. I'll send you out with that. Here's another guy we lose in New Orleans. Dan Lawrence. Absolutely gone.
Right.
He's in charge of some of the electrical stuff. We would have no lights. We'd be in the dark, bro. Right?
Wow.
That's it. But that's all this Saturday night, man. Windy City Classic. And
yeah.
One other thing I wanted to ask you before we let you go is,
yeah.
I know I asked you last time, and like everybody's jumping in the game. What is your current opinion on iPay-per-views for indie promotions?
I still don't think we're there yet. Some people are pulling them off, and if you can get it, if it works for you, I think it's fantastic. For us right now, I don't know that it's in the cards. It's just not, you know, it's not something we're looking at. I think we turn around our DVDs fast enough to where people can see it. People aren't getting, you know, getting lost with our storylines because they can get the product so fast.
Right.
So to me, if you can pull it off and it's working for you, I think it's fantastic. But for us right now, it's, you know, I can't say in 6 months we're gonna go, yeah, we're gonna try it and we're gonna see if it works. You know, but you know, I don't know if you get the feel from our show shooting an iPay-per-view. I don't know how great it would translate. It may translate great, you know. I don't know. So we like I said, we may look at it in the future, but for me right now, it's, you know, until it becomes like a perfect medium.
Yeah.
To carry a show over, I don't, you know, it's not 100% worth the money.
Yeah.
You know, it's risk reward there. I mean, you know, how much money are you going to make by putting it on iPay-per-view instead of getting the DVD out the same week,
right.
You know, yeah. That you run your show? That to me is the question. And if it should always be about making money for your product.
Yeah.
So if it makes money, fantastic, and if it's working for guys, that's fantastic. But you know, for us right now, you know, we haven't, you know, until it's, like I said, until it's like perfect, we know it's not going to go out, we're not going to disappoint a bunch of fans on our first iPay-per-view.
Yeah,
you know, our real first iPay-per-view.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You know, until I know it's perfect, I don't want to end up, you know, having people feel like we skipped them, or you know, people complaining about, we're not in a position to have people, you know, start complaining about an iPay-per-view.
Yeah.
I think we're just getting a good buzz about us that we want to keep it moving in that direction.
Yeah. I'd stay away from the iPay-per-view. Like you said, some companies pull it off and then out of nowhere, but even the ones that pull it off, then damn, they have a bad one. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't want to let fans down, especially now where people are really starting to put eyes on the product.
Yeah.
I really don't want to end up in a situation where I'm letting someone down.
Yeah, I agree with you.
There you have it. This Saturday night, AAW, Berwyn, Illinois.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun, fellas, I promise you.
Absolutely, man.
Can't wait to get there, man.
We appreciate you coming on the show once again.
No problem. I am now going to let my Greek god-looking nephew train me. That's what I've been doing for the last 5 weeks. Lifting weights.
Yeah.
The kid's like jacked beyond belief.
Wow.
He's a good-looking dude, and he's dragging his 4-year-old uncle around, training him. I've lost 18 pounds so far.
Wow.
You probably
and
look like Walker.
I still look nothing like him.
Nah, just joking, man.
No, please. Dude, listen, the other day he goes, I'm laying down next to you. He goes, all right, we're laying on the floor. He goes, all right, we got to do, you got to do a set of 25 crunches. Then we're going to leg lift, blah, blah. I go, dude, 25, nothing. Go ask yourself.
Man.
Yes.
25,
nothing.
Wow. 25 crunches. I haven't done 25 crunches in 20 years.
Right. One for each year.
Yeah, that's right. Do. That's probably what I've done.
On accident.
Yeah, if I'm getting up to get a drink, I think that counts as a crunch, right?
Yeah.
It's a crunch movement. That's what I call it. It's a crunch-like
movement.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Sunday, man. Thanks for
I'm excited to see you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
can't
excited
we, yeah,
to
we
come
missed
out
you last
you
year.
And your new physique.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Please. I need to lose 40 pounds before I get anywhere near you can call me having a physique besides round.
Wow.
Hey, it's tough for us older guys, you know?
It is. Oh, my God. People are looking at my nephew like, what are you doing with the old man?
I drink to keep my physique.
That's right. That's what I need to do. I need to commit to more drinking.
That's it. You don't get hurt drinking, man. You know.
Absolutely. Well, on Saturday, beers are on me.
Don't got to tell me twice.
Wow.
All right, man. Thanks again. If you listen to this Saturday night, definitely get the Berwyn. You won't be disappointed.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, no problem, Jim. Anytime, bud.
Hey, dude, we're looking forward to seeing you.
Definitely.
Cool. Anything
okay, cool. We'll see you on Saturday night.
All right, man. Be good.
All right, brother. I'll see you later.
See
okay,
you.
Man.
All right, bye.
Once again, we'd like to thank Jim Liner for being on the show. Always a great dude, outspoken, and always fun to interview him, man. That's why we bring him back so often for you people. Now, this next segment was recorded this past Saturday night on the ride home from Binghamton, New York. So we're going to talk about 2CW free pay-per-view from this past Saturday with Mike Falcone and Joe Pardini.
Yeah.
And we were at the show live, so I can't say how the pay-per-view itself looked, but we just talked about the live show and experience itself. So let's roll to that right now.
Hey, I personally want to thank Outlaw Mike Falcone and Joey Pardini for helping with this segment of the Uncle Mike and Tom Show.
There you go.
There you go, boys.
All right, Tom, go ahead. Are you ready?
What the hell was that?
We shut the phone down.
Oh.
That's a good thing. People call me.
Who's going to be calling you now at like 11:37?
They want to know who's winning the pool.
Joey's the guy to go to.
Did you press record yet?
Yeah, I hit record. I said, whenever you're ready.
We are live, just an hour removed from 2CW 99 Problems free pay-per-view tonight in beautiful Binghamton, New York. But I'm not here alone. Once again, Uncle Mike didn't make the trip. But the Outlaw Michael Falcone is with us. And our buddy Crazy Joe also made the trip. And we're going to talk about this pay-per-view right now and insert this into the regular Mike and Tom show like we usually do.
the Thanksgiving edition of the Mike and Tom and Uncle Mike and Tom show this year, right?
Very true, man. Thanksgiving edition, this will be on.
Yes.
So if you're listening, it's probably Turkey Day or a day before, or a day just went by, whatever, man. It's all good. 2CW back on high pay-per-view tonight, man. Free high pay-per-view. It was goddamn free with a loaded lineup. And I thought it was a good show. The crowd was hot, like they usually are, man. Packed. The biggest crowd they've had, to my knowledge there, as they were easily over 300 people. And it was legitimately super no vacancy, as it was standing room only and people standing all the way around the building. All the seats were filled.
Probably as much as that Girls Grand Prix that we went to. I would say that was the closest it was, probably as packed as it was. Yes.
It was jam-packed tonight. The crowd was hot.
The first Girls Grand Prix we went to.
And they had real nice lighting effects, too, going on. I thought, I made it.
Like Sin Cara was going to come out or something.
Right?
Yeah.
It was cool. It was cool. The show itself, I thought, was really good. And it was paced really well. There wasn't, what I'd say, a single bad match on the show. There was some really good stuff on the show. I haven't heard how the iPay-per-view was, if it ran smooth.
Apparently it came out pretty well.
Good, that's good to hear. That's happy. So this was a really good show for them to end their year, I guess. I believe this is their last show this year. And again, man, 2CW, starting to really get, they got a good thing going on in Binghamton, New York. I wish they'd run there more often. And what'd you think?
I thought there was four-plus-star matches in Elgin Fox and the tag match with the Bucks and the Dojo Bros.
Yeah.
I thought there was some boring stuff. I thought there was some stuff like the main event that was kind of a cluster. And then I thought there was some good stuff. And I think overall, I enjoyed myself, so I really got to give the show a thumbs up, because as much as there was some stuff that I thought was bad or I just didn't enjoy, I thought overall the presentation was pretty good and I enjoyed myself. And I'm really excited for this show coming up in March, I guess. So hopefully we head up for that one, the 100th show.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're going to be taking a couple months off. And they're going to be coming back now. This was their 99th show. They're going to be coming back with their 100th show. This won't be an iPay-per-view. This will just be, I guess, for the DVD. And that'll be fun. But, yeah, overall really good. And Crazy Joe, you were by the stage. I was by Joe where Joe was because for everybody listening, Tom and I were in our usual spot, like, which is like to the side of the ring where you're really close, and it's like a great spot. I love that spot because you're so close to the ring. It's really fun. And Joe is by the stage listening to the announcers and stuff. So, Joe,
the announcers were good. I heard everything crystal clear. But they do have a pay per view in
May. Yeah, living on the edge.
And it looks good, so.
Yeah, they announced that their next pay-per-view would be Living on the Edge, I believe, from Watertown, New York?
Yes.
In May. So that's cool. They'll be back with May's show.
And John Morris is coming back for the 100th show.
And they announced John
Morris. Well, that's not the idea.
On the Binghamton show, number 100.
All right. Well, let's
start off with the main event, because like I thought before the main event they were having a really great show, and then the main event was just a real clusterfuck, and it's too bad it kind of ended the show on a bad note. It was a tables match, three-way tables match, where you had to put both partners through a table to eliminate that team, and it started off weird where it was Team CK versus...
Yeah.
The
Punisher Vance Flake
versus Vance Flake, Punisher Vance Flake, and
Kevin the Man Graham.
Yeah, Kevin the Man Graham. And Team CK and Graham and Flake came brawling in from the bar area and started the match. And like immediately they had a table break right in the first like minute of the match. And they were brawling for a couple minutes. And then the Irish Airborne came out with a double dive set, which, man, Jake Chris, the air he got on these dives was fucking amazing. But it got real slight, like, it seems like nobody was sure of the rules, if it was one partner or two, both partners that had to go through tables. Once they eliminated Team CK, who were the current tag champions, and then it seemed like a lot of confusion happened. And then they put Dave Chris through a table and the bell rang and they announced Vance Flake and Graham new champions before they put Jake, then they started fighting again and put Jake Chris through a table and then the match ended.
real kind of clusterfuck of a main event to end the show on a bad note.
Yeah, this was a mess. This was like, and I was comparing this, I think I said this live, because I had just recently rewatched this match, the Cactus Jack Big Van Vader match from Halloween Havoc 93, where it was a death match.
Yeah.
But yet, there's so many different rules of a death match to where, like, I think that they had to answer at the count of 10, but no one really knew what was going on. The referees had one thing they thought, like, when there was a three count, like, the match was over. It was just a mess, and I think this was the same thing where it was a tables match. Actually, it was billed as a tables war. So you hear, okay, it's a tables match. Now, what does that mean?
Let me stop. I was thinking about the point you're about to go. 1993 Halloween Havoc, Vader and Cactus Jack. If you look at it now with 2013 eyes, it wasn't that good a match. But in 1993, they never seen anything like that.
No, I disagree with that because...
At the time, it was really fucking...
No, I disagree because, like, you had the Saturday Night stuff, and you had a... You know, you had what was going on in ECW at the time, too.
ECW?
Yeah, with Cactus Jack.
Didn't really exist. This is 1993.
No, because this was when...
ECW had Don fucking Morocco and Jimmy fucking Snuka in there.
No, you had... Well, no, then you had... What was it? The Goodhart... Because the tape traders that knew what was going on knew that you had Sabu and Cactus Jack in those
matches.
That was
94.
No, there was 93.
No, it wasn't ECW there was, in 93.
No, well, it wasn't ECW then. It was something else. But I think, I think
on the main stage there was nothing like what them two did in that match. It was a sloppy fucking
thing. Nah, because if you go back and you read the Observer from that time, Dave doesn't get that. Yeah. That's why, I mean, because you said that too, and it's like, no, I don't think you're right, because they were doing that stuff on Saturday Night for months.
It's not like what they did in
that
match.
I don't know.
He powerbombed Cactus on the concrete, and Cactus showed up in Cleveland. Fuck, he was for half a year.
That death match is like, have you rewatched it? Did you go back and rewatch it?
No, I haven't watched it.
Well, go back and rewatch it.
I watched it a bunch of times.
You go back and rewatch that match.
I want you to let me know that match was well above anything we've ever done on paper.
Rewatch that match, and then next week when we discuss either AIW, we'll go back and we'll talk about that match.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember the ending was all fucking goofy.
But I will say this.
Confused. Cactus at his best is getting his ass kicked.
I will say this, in 20 years, no one's going to be talking about this tag team title match that had here in Binghamton.
No one's going to be talking about it in 20 minutes.
I don't think I'm even going to remember this match after we're done recording this show.
When they put the DVD out, they should just cut this fucking match out and pretend it didn't happen and just end with the Young Bucks.
No one knew what was going on. No one knew what was going on.
But yeah, so it was a pretty clusterfuck. Everybody in the match worked their asses off, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the Airborne were great, because you were saying, I think you had mentioned, how, like, they did, like, those dive spots.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. So.
But unfortunately, it was goofy rules. Like you were saying, tables match. Does that mean you got to put them through tables to win, or tables are
exactly,
legal,
yeah, that's what I said.
On.
No one knew, like, what was going on. And then the one guy from 2CW, who I guess works in the back, isn't an on-camera personality or anything like that. He comes out and he starts yelling at Jack Trades or this and that, and they're like, Team CK has been eliminated,
yeah,
you know, and then everyone just, like, out of nowhere, you know, and then, so, Punisher Van Slyke and them put one of the Airborne through the tables, like, a minute goes by, and then Punisher Van Slyke, you know, the Irish Airborne are eliminated, whatever it was, new tag team champions, and then, like, Kevin the Man Graham, like, threw the belt down, he seemed like he was really pissed off. And Punishing Van Slyke, I didn't see this directly, but did he, like, hit someone in the audience? Or, like, he went after somebody in the audience or something like that? Because then, like, he just kind of, like, just...
Yeah, it was on my
threw
side.
Over the guard, yeah, through the guardrail.
Yeah, it was on my side.
It was on your side? No, it was on the side by the by the bar.
Yeah. Because Tom was over by me, and we were watching it.
Well, what happened then?
Because
I was paying attention.
We lost track because that's when Jake went through the table after the bell rang.
Yeah.
Because people didn't even know what was going on.
So then, like, basically, he just kind of left through the crowd. And then I was just like, everybody's just kind of looking at each other. Okay, is the show over? And then they ran, like, this video, which was eventually...
Like, goofy.
Yeah, and then that was it. Yeah. So, I mean, but that was the main event. I mean, did you want to...
Yeah, no, that was the main event. It was as confusing as our fucking review of it sounded. So that's that, you know? It's unfortunate.
Show opened with a pre-show match that you were still in the car for. Joey, you were here for this one. It was, I don't even write down everybody that was in it, but it was like an 8-man with like a lot of the 2-Siri local guys, and a couple guys were eliminated pretty quickly, and then like only a couple minutes afterward, like everyone was disqualified, and it was a no contest, and the crowd booed, and you could hear Joey, because I had a little notebook, I was writing down some notes for this, like you could hear Joey just like heckling everybody, so that was pretty funny, so... That was probably my favorite part of the match.
Dick.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Yeah. Say what happened after.
They kidnapped Dick. They put a bag over his head and they took him in the bag.
I think I made the right choice to stay in the car and take a trip to Iran.
Right?
They come in for the real show at 7 o'clock.
So, at this point, it started to get really crowded. When they turned, like, the lights on, like, a rush of people just started kind of... You know, just went to the bar and stuff like that. So you can tell, like, there was a lot of people by the time that the show started. They had a video to open the show. The lights went off, the big pop. They're all late chants. I had it written down here.
Can I ask you a question on that?
Yes.
What was the gimmick with the popcorn? And it looked like I was at the drive-in.
Well, that was the whole point, I think. It was kind of like an old-timey intro. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. But I think that was kind of the whole point. They wanted to have, like, something different to that pay-per-view. And, like, they did that, like, last time. If you remember, like, they had, like, some, like, a song. And it was, like, a movie trailer opening, like, to their last pay-per-view that they did. And I thought it was something different than just start the pay-per-view. It's, like, some generic music video. I really like that. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watching it. And apparently, from what I was reading on Twitter and stuff like that, like, they were running, like, a lot of, like, really entertaining things during the intermissions and stuff like that. Like on, like, the, for the intermission, like, they didn't have any matches, but I guess they had, like, some jokes and stuff like that. The video had, you know, please stand by, like, technical difficulties, and people started chanting ROH. it opened with the Iron Man match, 30-minute Iron Man match. So the show opened with a 30-minute match that you knew guaranteed was going to go 30 minutes. And an interesting booking. Johnny Gargano and Jason X.
I thought it was an interesting booking, but it's smart booking because, like, there's always that fear doing a 30-minute match that you'll lose the crowd, especially, like, a place in Binghamton. And so at least, you know, like, the first match, you're going to be hot.
Everyone's hot right off the bat, yeah.
Yeah, and Johnny Gargano, they're going to stay hot anyway because he's really terrific worker and works the crowd well. They did good in the opener. Had a really solid match. Nice back and forth effort. Let me say, I like Jason X, but he's got to get in better shape, man.
Well, here's the thing about this match. I wrote, there were two keys to this match. One was, is X good enough to hang with Gargano for 30 minutes? And two, can Gargano put X on his level? And really, I would really kind of argue that the jury's still out on both of those. I think Jason X is good, but I just don't think, like, if, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's like you really can't say, like, he's, like, the top-level talent like Gargano. I think Gargano really kind of outclassed him in this.
He's not top talent, but he's a solid worker. Yeah, he's a real solid worker, very good in the ring. He's got a...
I would say he's even below solid.
I think he's all right. I don't mind him. But he definitely has to work on tightening up his physique and getting better gear. But...
Yeah, he's a t-shirt wrestler. He wears a t-shirt.
I enjoyed the match.
It ended up in a draw.
Well, yeah.
Unlimited draw, yeah. And then Johnny Gargano challenged them to a rematch. And they set up a one-hour time limit. Or one-hour...
Time limit, yeah.
Yeah.
And people were booing that out of the joint.
Yeah, people don't want nothing to do with a one-hour match.
There were a lot of bumps on the floor for this one.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Jason Axe took a couple of crazy fucking bumps early in the match. He took a back bump on the fucking floor, which is crazy.
Wilkes Bar. There was a lawn dart into the guardrail, and then the 30 minutes was up with Axe holding him in the Texas Cloverleaf. So basically, the double draw and the 1 hour is next. So we'll probably get that next year.
Gargano got over strong to the Binghamton crowd.
The next match was Cheech and Slick Wagner Brown, and what I basically the I wrote a couple things for this match was Cheech has a dark beard and Slick Wagner Brown wins with like something moved. So there you go. And then they said that they were trending, but they cut that shit out pretty quickly. They only said that they're trending worldwide, and then I think they, you know, realized, hey, we're not really not. That's kind of these tailored trends that happen, but they weren't. So Cheech, yeah. But going back, Cheech and SWB.
Good match. Not bad.
I'm a Cheech fan. Cheech.
Yeah, I like Cheech a lot too.
Cheech is one of my favorite dudes.
Slick Wagner Brown and Cheech have worked before a bunch of times. They worked well together. It was a good match. Nothing blow away or anything. It was fine.
Yeah, I think Cheech is solid. Like I said, if Jason Axe is a little below solid, like I was saying, I think Cheech is a guy that I think is above him on his level.
Cheech deserves so much more than he gets.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it just seems like Cheech is like one of the Rodney Dangerfield men. He just gets no respect. I remember like even a couple years ago, that Dragon Gate show that we went to with Shingo and Danielson. Like, it was, you know, him and Cloudy were like in the second match on the pre-show. Yeah. And it's like, come on, you know, but... What are you going to do?
Like, he's been around forever, and he's still, like, in the same position in all these shows. Yeah. Which is sad. But it is what it is.
The next match was Nick Ando, Greg Iron, former Uncle Mike and Tom Guest, which is a show that you must listen to if you haven't.
Well, obviously, you're listening to it right now.
Dolan Castle. Well, not that episode. Maybe they haven't listened to it.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And Adam Pearce. And they chanted, "Who the fuck are you?" to... decades veteran Adam Pearce, so I thought that was fun.
That was weird. The thing I remember most about this match is how much bigger Adam Pearce was than everybody else in the ring.
The thing I remember most about this is Nick Ando looks like Damian Sandow.
Yeah, he does, if he was doing like a sailor gimmick or something. You're right, he does look like Damian.
Not like Kelvin Gets Island.
But I thought this match was really fun. Gregory Iron got over huge to the crowd.
Please come back chant.
Yeah, including a please come back chant post-match after it was over. And Dalton Castle is another guy. I talked about him a little bit last week. I said he's one of the dudes, I think, just more people have to see him. He has a special quality to him, and he's an entertaining fellow. And I think he's just, the more places he works, the more people see him, the more buzz he'll get. And Adam Pearce was, you know, an old veteran. And it looked good. Good match. You know, it was timed perfectly, paced well.
I thought this was kind of boring, to be honest.
I thought everybody got over. The crowd loved it. The crowd was into it strong.
Next match was No Holds Barred, Jay Freddie and Kevin Steen. Jay Freddie jumped Kevin Steen right off the bat. Kevin Steen was messing around with a guy in the crowd. He had his hat. He gave it a Steen, the package pile driver. Jay Freddie's knee was messed up. Obviously, he missed a lot of time last year with a knee injury.
Yeah, I think it was a torn ACL.
So you had a power bomb with a chair on top of a couple chairs, followed by Steen getting Jay Freddie's, like, his knee, I guess, or the ACL or whatever it was, and just bumped, and just dropped it right on the chair, and you heard it. It was a sick bump. As well as that, the power bomb on the double chairs.
He tore the brace off of it somewhere near, too.
Yeah, he tore the brace off of it, and then the referee stopped the match, and I guess just, you know, basically because, you know, because Jay's coming back from injury, and I guess the referee just you know, died, you know, hey, Jay just couldn't take any longer, and Steen wins it, and wait a minute, let me see, one more.
The crowd was super hot for this match. They love Kevin Steen. And this was No Holds Barred, so they were able to go, like, all over, you know, anywhere out around ringside, use whatever they wanted. They had a good time with this match. It was entertaining.
And then,
I liked it.
And then Steen followed with a post-match promo, "Jay Freddie, don't belong in my house, bitch."
Yeah, so, which means they're definitely set up for the match. That was interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if the guy got his hat back, because...
Yeah, there was a funny bit where Kevin Steen took this guy's hat from a fan in the front row and threw it. And then I got back to him, and Kevin Steen went over and grabbed it, threw it again. And then we got back to the guy, Steen, grabbed it and threw it across to the other side.
No, it was even before it went to the guy, because Jack Trades had it.
Yeah,
once they
gave it back to him, and Steen took it and threw it over the ring to the other side of the crowd.
Yeah,
that was great.
It was great. I almost had the hat, but the guy in front of me got the hat, and I don't think he ever returned it to him.
Yeah, that's funny.
Good stuff. This was good. Good brawl. interesting finish, and obviously this feud must continue.
The next match for the 2CW Heavyweight Championship, Isis FX against Colin Delaney. Colin Delaney is, this has been the redemption year for Colin Delaney, I think, obviously, in the AAIW. You know, he won that Royal Rumble, or the Gauntlet for the Gold, I should say, and he had the title match there, and here he is having another match for the Heavyweight Championship of the promotion.
He was over.
Yeah.
I love Colin Delaney, I think.
Isis hit him with the Tiger Driver 91 for two, and that was a big near fall. Isaac retains with like a go to sleep kind of move, but basically he finished out with a pile driver and he dropped it right on his head.
Yeah.
He killed him with it, and I guess they also basically challenged each other for a rematch. This match they said was going to go an hour, but
yeah,
it's not like there was the time limit was a problem with this match. But I guess they're gonna do another one.
Didn't he cheat?
Yeah.
Because he came in the ring and he fucking crotched him with the rope.
This match I thought was good, not great. I thought they worked well together. They worked a bunch in the past. Colin Delaney's really over. I don't mind Isis. It was just kind of...
He's another guy who wears a t-shirt.
Yeah,
it looks bad.
Another guy, yeah. T-shirt warrior. But, Colin Delaney did some weird offense where he kept doing these moves, like skinning the cat into different moves, which I don't think was getting over too well to the live crowd. He did it like three different
times. Yeah, he did it three times. I remember at the J-Lit, in the match he had with Ricky, he went to do it, and I don't know if he just couldn't get himself over or whatever like that. It just ended really awkward where, like, he just kind of dropped down, and then they just started wrestling on the floor. It was like a really just weird, like, in the, like time stood still kind of moment. You know, that's the move I'm not really into.
Really, like Colin, he's a tremendous show.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Yeah,
crowd was really into it. Isis retained, and they set up a rematch. Apparently, in 1 hour time.
So yeah, that'll be.
And he wasn't gonna cheat next time.
Yeah, intermission, followed up with, what was it, Ben, because I didn't even write it down,
it was the
Ben Hameen thing.
Yeah, they came out.
Where yeah, like we were saying, they had put Dick Justice like a terrorist, or like a hostage, or whatever, like he had the thing around his head, and all that jazz.
And he cut his beard.
Yeah, we want 81 South. But, then you had, like, the faces from, like, the pre-show match, save the day. And it was whatever. It was kind of get everybody back in their seats for the second half. Right? I mean, I don't know what you would say about this time.
I went and got a beer.
I got a hot dog.
And some popcorn.
And a popcorn.
How was the popcorn?
Popcorn was actually really good. Because I was going to town on it, and this hot chick standing next to me looks like, wow. It's like you really like that stuff. I was like, fuck yeah. But anyway, then we started off the second half.
Alright, yeah, so you had that, and then you put the fucking pedal to the metal right here, because you had Michael Elgin, AR Fox, who really one of the very rare times, I think it happened in PWG recently. It was going to happen in AIW, but it didn't happen. I think AR Fox could make his flight. And this is also like a match where it's your ROH versus your Dragon Gate kind of guy. So you really don't get this off too often. Just an absolute insanity kind of match.
It was great.
Elgin won with a powerbomb off the top rope. AR Fox did that low main reign. Michael Elgin did this spot where, you know how he does like the superplex from outside to inside? Well, he did that from outside the barricade to over the, you know, and way over to the barricade. It was crazy. Got a standing O after the match, and definitely like a four star plus match. You know, if you were Dave Meltzer and you're in
a
star rate matches, man, I would say this would be one of those matches. Did you say?
I sold the show.
Done?
Yeah, it was great. It was tremendous, man. It was everything you thought it would be. They delivered, and an awesome fucking
when
match.
We, you know what? And I say this, you know, this was a 3-eye pay per view. We easily could have watched this at our homes. But I think we kind of knew the Binghamton venue was a very special place.
Yeah.
And do you want 81 South for what's good?
They were eating it up.
Yeah. We knew that you know, this was going to be a match where if we saw this live, we would never forget it. I think this was one of those matches. Well, you were in the wrong lane.
Goddamn podcast.
Because you're going to fucking Carbondale. We want to go to Wilkes-Barre. I don't know where you're going.
I had it all under control.
You're taking us to Carbondale.
That building felt like...
Actually, I think we know where we're going. I can turn this
that
off.
That building felt like the old Eagle.
And she keeps interrupting the time, kid.
You know that? That building felt like the old ECW arena. It's got that feeling.
It's a cool building, you know. They got a hot crowd, cool building.
Yeah, and it's got that
feeling. I would run there more often. They got a good little thing there.
And it's got that feeling that there's something magic in there.
Exactly. So, yeah, Michael Elgin got the victory. Awesome match. And then we had the women.
Yeah, well, then, well, first, yeah, they announced Show 100. They have the thing coming soon, Show 100 with Morrison, March 2014. And then, yeah, I stopped taking notes from there, I think, because I was just kind of watching this. So, yeah, so Jessica Havoc and Mickey James. I
delivered a great match. They had a good match, man. They did a big girl, little girl with Jessica Havoc, really dominated. And Mickey James was fighting the comeback, you know, the baby face fighting for underneath, being like much smaller than Jessica. And so Jessica shined the whole match playing the overpowering heel. And then Mickey got her baby face comeback and got the victory, man. It worked.
I thought this was really boring. I was the exact opposite. I just wanna know what two plus, like, I was just so buzzed off that last match. I don't know, like this really didn't hold my attention, but then again I'm not a big women's wrestling fan.
Yeah, I thought it brought the crowd down.
I like
it. Yeah, the crowd, I don't think the crowd you know, I think after that last match too, I think everybody was taking a breather. But yeah, watch it for yourself, you know. It's good to see Mickey James on the indies. I think she's a talent, and she's hot. So I can at least say that much. And,
the Young Bucks against the Dojo Brothers.
This was awesome. This was another... it's between this, obviously, and the Fox match is my match tonight. I still haven't decided yet. I want to go back and rewatch both of them. I hope this is available, the stream is available to watch this. Apparently, too, Tom, I hear the stream was very good over the iPad. You were even able to stream this over the iPad or whatever iProduct. And I think that's something that I think means a lot, because I know we're both iPad users and stuff like that. To be able to watch, you know, the thing over this, it's good, because sometimes some people use Flash.
Because for all the people that bitch about iPaper, there's a lot of them out there, man. It's the future of the fucking industry, and it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. So you should hope for it to continue to get better in progress for me, where it works, you know, perfectly.
This worked better than a lot of ones that people had to pay for.
That's good to hear, you know.
Yeah, so I guess a free iPad.
The fact you can sit in your living room and watch a live indie show on a weekend's a fucking miracle. You shouldn't take it for fucking granted like so many people do.
Yeah, right? Because, I mean, you remember those shows back in 96, you know, probably 95, right?
Speaking of taking things for granted, man, I don't care. I don't care about psychology at this point. I don't care about doing too much. I think the Young Bucks are fucking amazing. I think they're awesome. And I think they shouldn't be fucking changed at all. Just let that be their gimmick. This is their thing. They go out there and they just have these blowaway fucking matches. Who cares if they do 76 fucking super kicks and 82 fucking moonsaults and all this fucking insanity? It's the 20th best fucking minutes
they
on the best show every fucking
They have the
night.
Best match on every show that they're on. And I think with El Generico now, obviously, in WWE, you know, there's three different guys, or actually I should say four people that I think would take this place. For a while I say Michael Elgin's the best guy in the world right now, because he has the best, every show that he's on, he has the best match. There was another guy, A.R. Fox. Every show that he's on, he has the best match on the show. And then there's the Young Bucks, and they're all on this show tonight. And I think all three of those, or four of those guys, make the case for, like, the new El Generico. Where El Generico was the guy where no matter what show he was on, he had the best match on that show. And it's the same thing with all these guys.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I agree with you, man. They went all out. And again... Plus, we didn't mention yet, this was Eddie Edwards.
Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong. It's like, Jesus.
Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong out there, too. Roderick Strong, man. It's like, you know, when do you really see him in the Northeast when it's not for Ring of Honor? Not too many times. Not a lot of people bring him up. I think he's got a decent job in Florida. I know he's like a personal trainer. Plus, why would you want to leave Florida come the Northeast in November anyway, right? I think he's one of those guys where I think he it's okay. Like, he doesn't have to take every booking that he gets, you know what I mean? But he came up here for this. That was awesome. We didn't say Eddie Edwards was just in NXT just on Thursday as Regis Philbin or whatever his name was. I think it was something Philbin. And, you know, now he's an NXT guy, him and Davies. So who knows, maybe if they're going to be signed. There's rumors for that. Who knows if this is the last time we'll see Eddie Edwards. Yeah. You know, this might have been. So
awesome,
great match. Man. I'd say four plus star match, man. It was a great match and a great way to... Great way to cap the show off, unless you had the main event, if it wasn't for this tag title match. So.
Yeah, so Young Bucks won, and they were trying to heal it up, but the crowd was having none of it. They love him, and they gave him a huge, please come back.
You want to know what I thought, and I don't know if you know this, Tom, because I was standing, so people took my spot when I went out of the car. But,
I hate people.
That guy, and he was fucking nudging me the entire time.
Like,
yeah, you could tell.
Fucking ignorant, man. Like, it's intermission, you go to the bathroom, you go to snack bar, and someone's gonna take your fucking spot, right? It's like, come on, man. You were standing right next to me. You know that was my spot. So I came back and in our spot, so I was like, fuck it. You want to be ignorant, then I'll be ignorant too. So I just stood right in the fucking front of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could hear the whole time his girlfriend bitching to him that this fucking sucks. I hate this. Standing behind me too, I was right in front of him. Like, you want to be ignorant, you knew we were standing.
That pissed me.
Because
when they announced intermission and you moved, you could just see like this badass, just him just kind of like shuffle his way.
I just stood in front of him.
Good.
Yeah, I didn't have to worry.
Joe had a good spot. Joe is right where the heart came
in my way.
So yeah, great show, great night, great atmosphere, man. I hope you checked it out. It should be available on the free iPay for a while. I know the last one was.
Yeah, so and like I said, you can watch it on your iPad or anything like that too. So
UCWrestling.com.
We'll be back in March, I hope.
Fuck
bearing yeah, bearing anything else, but yeah.
Most likely. Let me say not fuck yet. Depends what the
and Tom Richards. And I said this on Twitter. I said this on Twitter too. Tom Richards, obviously one of the best wheel men in the business. I was saying I think indie wrestlers should hire you out to drive to have you drive them around.
They don't even get paid, let alone pay me to drive them. I'd want more to drive them than they get paid for the match. But yeah, man. So 2 weeks in a row. Last week is ISW. Today was 2CW, so we got to go to Heirloom Theater last week. That's an awesome little wrestling venue. Tonight was the American Legion up in Binghamton, awesome venue. Now, next weekend, we're going to be in Cleveland and Chicago at Turner's Hall in Cleveland, and then the world-famous Eagles, the Berwyn Eagles Club in Berwyn, Illinois, man. That's four awesome, unique wrestling venues on the independent scene in a three-week period.
Are we going to go to... Lisa Varon's.
Yeah, we're going to Squared Circle.
Are we going
to
do that too? Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And that's even like a place where I guess,
plus
you know,
we're going to hit the Squared Circle.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. It'll be a good time, man.
Well, that's all I have to say for now. I have a little sore throat. I'm getting sick, so I don't want to talk too much. I feel like I'm going to talk enough for next week too. So I said, let's wrap this up for this week. But yeah, thanks so always for having me on, Tom. And thank you for driving us again. It was a good time. And, yeah, great show. Great show. And like I said, this was in November to remember, I think, because there were so many great indie shows. And, you know, this is now going to be the second week. We're doing two more shows next week. Yeah. Real fun.
November to remember 2000.
Real fun, yeah. So, a lot of fun. And, yeah.
So, let's go find Uncle Mike and get back to him and that other guy, Tom Richards.
Yeah. That old bum.
We'd like to thank again Joey and the outlaw Mike Falcone for helping that review. But since that was recorded before and this is being recorded after, we can go back now and add a little bit to this. As the next day, Mike Falcone did tweet me and apologizes. He looked up the Wrestling Observer from Halloween Havoc 93, and Dave Meltzer actually gave Cactus Jack versus Vader Texas Deathmatch 4 3/4 stars. So I was right and Mikey was wrong. But hey, I'm the old guy. We're the old guys. We live through and remember a little bit better. He was, you know, a young dude. It's all good. It's all good. I just love to say I was right. But all right. It's all good, right? Cactus Invader was really...
I remember.
It was
like
great.
I wasn't there. You were talking about it, but if you said to me, I'd be like, oh, that was fucking great.
Yeah, because at that point in 1993, there was nothing like that on the national scene in North America.
Yeah, that was a real good match.
I mean, like, Tri-State Wrestling was doing some hardcore stuff in Philly, but, like, honestly, like, how many people were really seeing that, except for the people in the building? Like, tape trading and whatnot was, like, so much different back then, you know? So it's like, you can hardly count that. So most people never seen nothing like that, though the finish did suck. But the match itself was pretty fucking crazy for 1993. Yeah, but apparently it doesn't hold up that well today. But we're going to have to go back and check that out.
Yeah, because at its time I liked it.
Me too. All right, let's get to the news here, man. Absolute Intense Wrestling, who returns this Friday night, announced Chris Hero will be coming to AIW at their next show December 27th in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Chris Hero in Absolute Intense Wrestling.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see who they match him up. FIP announced that Roderick Strong will be on their iPay-per-views next Friday and Saturday from Tampa in Orlando, Florida. And they announced on one of the shows he'll be taking on Rich Swann.
Ooh, damn.
So that's kind of interesting. He can be on FIP iPay-per-view.
Ooh.
Since he's Ring of Honor.
Yeah, how the heck is that?
I don't know. But hey, Michael Elgin was on the 2CW pay-per-view this weekend. After he wasn't allowed to be on the AIW pay-per-view at the beginning of the month. So I don't know.
What the fuck was that?
The American Wolves had their week tryout at NXT, and they worked the NXT tapings as the American Pitbulls. No word on if they'd be signed or not, but Davey Richards did cancel an upcoming Pro Wrestling NOAH tour, where on that tour he was actually scheduled to get a junior heavyweight title match. And he did want to actually play at an angle in Ring of Honor, where kind of like what they did to CM Punk a few years ago, acting like they were going to WWE and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
WWE said absolutely not. But from what I was reading today, that regardless if they sign with WWE or not, apparently Davey may be done with Ring of Honor anyway. Because there's some heat on him. He did an interview in Europe that they're not happy with. They was really kind of derogatory about the company. And so if he doesn't sign with WWE, there's a chance he might go to TNA anyway. They'll take Eddie Edwards back in Ring of Honor, though. But apparently they don't want Davey back anyway. But hopefully they'll get the deal with WWE and make some good money. And probably job the hell on Raw.
Who knows? You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Mad Dog Vachon died this past week. He's kind of before my time.
Oh, I remember him.
You know?
I remember him good. Well, no, you saw a lot of him in AWA.
A little bit at the end. Yeah, very little. I mean, he's more the guy I remember that in your house, Shawn Michaels was Kevin Nash for to use his fake leg.
I was thinking about that at work today, and I popped in my head.
Yeah, because his career was ended when he got hit by a car and had to have his leg amputated. And so he had a fake leg. I remember it happened there. I think it happened in TNA, too, once, where he got involved.
I think you're right.
And they used his leg.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, he's like more 70s and early 80s. Yeah.
I remember him with his brother, tag team, Paul the Butcher.
Yeah.
They were a good act, you know. You know, for that, you know what I mean. It was
totally different. Wow,
they were
icons
like,
in like Montreal and different parts of Canada.
But no, like they were, like, in a weird way, you were scared of them, you know, like the way they came out, and yelled and stuff.
Yeah, they cut killer promos.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like you, little kid, you were scared shit. You know what I mean.
They had them gravelly voices.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah. Great worker. I thought so. Like, in a totally different way than what today's standards would be.
Josh Alexander announced that he had injured his back and is off all shows this weekend, including AIW, AAW, and Alpha One.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah. Evolve sent out a news release put up some updates of what's coming up, 3D Ball. As they will be returning to Florida in January. It's January 10th. Good. They'll be at the Orpheum in Ybor City, Florida. On January 11th, they'll be in Orlando at the Downtown Recreation Complex. And that's on January 12th, they'll be in Jacksonville, Florida. No word on pay-per-views. And obviously, the show in Ybor City will be on pay-per-view. Last time, two of them were and one of them wasn't.
That Orlando dump, that was the place Chikara ran, remember?
Yeah. I don't know if these are the exact same three they ran last time, or if they think they are, though.
Yeah, those look similar.
It's the same cities. Orlando, Ybor City, and Jacksonville. It's January 10th, 11th, and 12th. And they announced that talent already listed and confirmed for Florida. Evolve champion A.R. Fox. Open the Freedom Gate champion Johnny Gargano. Open the United Gate champions, the Bravado Brothers. Ricochet, Rich Swann, Chris Hero, the Young Bucks. Trent Beretta, plus many others to be announced. And also, they will be returning to Queens on February 22nd and Brooklyn on February 23rd. So that's good to hear that. At least to start off the year, the WWN, like Gabe's promotions, are going to have like a base run, a regular schedule the first 2 months, you know.
They're going to run that death trap too?
Yeah, that's going to be their... Hey, they did a pretty good draw there this last time.
No, I know. But that place...
I hear you. And they announced the Young Bucks are the first talent for the WWN Live experience in New Orleans WrestleMania weekend. Yeah, that's what's going on.
That'll all be good.
Obviously, we mentioned Full Impact Pros next weekend on iPay-Per-View on Friday and Saturday. Excuse me. And Shine Wrestling returns the following Friday night, December 13th. That will feature Rain defending the Shine title against Amazing Kong and one-on-one Jessica Havoc versus Allison Kay.
Look out.
Coming up December 13th. And that's what's going on in WWN Live land.
Sounds good.
Man, that's pretty
good
much
shit coming.
I think that's about all the news we got to cover. So let's get to what went down this past weekend. Started off Friday night. Well, we'll start off Thursday night.
Oh, it's Thursday.
Pro Wrestling Battle Arts.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's right. Brought that up last week.
And here's what went down this past Thursday night in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. Will White pinned Preston Miles to win a four-way that also included Scott Turner and Marcus Marquise. It was Hacker Scotty O'Shea pinning John Green. Mischief defeated Jules Malone. Cyborg Tyson Dukes and Unbreakable Michael Elgin defeated All-Stars Brent B and Rocksteady Alex Vega when Elgin pinned Vega.
You know, that was good.
It was RJ City defeating El Hijo de Bigote. And Cody Deaner won the Battle Arts Openweight title, pinning All Eagle Ethan Page in a birthday bash brawl. Match included four boxes on corner posts with weapons in each, hockey stick, whip, and other items. Match was no DQ and anything went.
Cody Deaner.
And that's what went down Thursday night. And then Friday, we had 2CW kicked off their weekend in Watertown, New York. As Isis FX successfully defended the 2CW heavyweight title, defeating Juggernaut Jason Axe. Rhino defeated Michael Elgin. Studley Steve McKenzie, Guerrero Loco, and Zachary Springate III defeated Ben Hameen, Pete DeOrder and Eric M. Timmons. The Dojo Brothers of Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong defeated Punisher Van Slyke and Kevin the Man Graham. Nick Ando defeated Super Cop Dick Justice. It was A.R. Fox defeating Gregory Iron, Tyson Dukes, Dalton Castle, Jay Freddy, and Cheech in a six-way scramble when he pinned Dalton Castle. Sean Corn and Cage defeated Tommy Dreamer and Colin Delaney to retain the 2CW tag team titles. Jessica Havoc defeated Mischief. And the Young Bucks and Kevin Steen defeated the Irish Airborne and Johnny Gargano in the main event. And that's, I've been waiting to see Young Bucks and the Irish Airborne match. Now I'm going to have to buy this 2CW-a-thon show from Watertown, New York. And that was supposed to happen in our town, but they couldn't find a building, man. And then the following night, they had the pay-per-view that we already did the review of earlier. And a couple of notes, 2CW now taking the next few months off, as they will return on March 14th, 2014, with show number 100 back in Binghamton, New York. And then April 19th, they will be debuting in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And then March 2nd, they will be returning to iPay-Per-View from Watertown, New York. So that's some upcoming major dates for 2CW in the first quarter of next year. For more information, go to 2CWrestling.com.
Finally getting some good wrestling in our backyard, huh?
I know, that'll be awesome.
About time.
Yeah.
Crap we put up with for years here.
But they weren't the only thing going down Friday night. Is PWX also ran a double shot. Premier Wrestling Experience at Charlotte, North Carolina area.
Get ready for these results.
Friday night they ran Hickory, North Carolina. Yeah. Climb the Ladder show. They had an estimated attendance of 150 to 175. It was Alex Reynolds and John Silver defeating Zane Riley and Derek Rise when Silver pinned Rise.
Wow.
It was Stephen Walters defeating Lance Lude.
Stephen Walters.
Yeah, that we've seen on Dragon.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive. It was Country Jack with Corey Hollis and Adam Page defeating Andrew Everett and Rich Swann when Hollis hit Everett with the PWX title and pinned him.
Wow.
I'd like to see that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Amber O'Neill and Sue Young defeated Leva Bates and Amanda Rodriguez when Young pinned Bates. Collab Conley successfully retained the PWX title, forcing Tony Nese to submit to the O-Face.
Wow. That was probably great.
Due to the loss, Nese will face Swann and Chris Hero in a three-way. And as the winner, Collab Conley will defend the title in a four-way ladder match on Saturday night, facing Hollis, Page, Cedric Alexander.
Wow.
Pick Your Partners tag match, Man Scout Jake Manning and Chris Hamrick.
Wow.
Defeated John Skyler and ITV champion Mr. Elite Drew Myers when Hamrick pinned the ITV champ with an amazing top rope Super Hurricanrana.
Holy shit.
Post-match, Manning said he thinks Hamrick earned himself a shot at the ITV title at the iPay-Per-View. The man's guy also said he would face Skyler at the iPay-Per-View one-on-one, and the loser received 10 matches with a belt. And in a Dream Series match, Cedric Alexander remained undefeated in his Dream Series, defeating Chris Hero in an excellent match.
Oh, could you imagine that one?
PWX Tag Team Titles Ladder Match. Worst case scenario of Ethan Case and Elijah Evans IV retain their titles, defeating the Los Bendejos with an assist from Alex Reynolds and John Silver, who pushed Cruz off the ladder and threw a table, allowing Evans to climb up and grab the belts.
Wow.
And that's what went down in Hickory Friday night. So that led to the free, well, not free, but the iPay-Per-View, where if you had High Spots TV, it was free. What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger 3 from Concord, North Carolina.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Los Bendejos defeated Alex Reynolds and John Silver when Rios pinned Silver with the Springboard 450. ITV title match, Drew Myers retained his title, reversing his Springboard Flying Body Press by Chris Hamrick and holding the tights for the win.
Huh.
Leva Bates defeated Sue Young with a modified middle rope pedigree. And number one contenders three-way, winner number one contender for the PWX title, it was Rich Swann defeating Tony Nese and Chris Hero. Swann pinned Nese with a triple jump 450. Lance Lute, Andrew Everett, and Zane Riley defeated PWX Tag Team Champions Worst Case Scenario and Craig Huffman in a wild and crazy six-man tag. John Skyler took a beating all over the arena, but defeated Man Scout Jake Manning by countout. And due to the pre-match stiff, Skyler gave his former partner 10 lashes with a belt. And in the main event, Collab Conley retained his PWX title in a four-way ladder match, defeating Corey Hollis, Adam Page, and Cedric Alexander. And that makes him the PWX champion for 9 months. And replays of this show are available at highspottv.com.
Both sound good.
Yeah, it sounds like a good weekend at PWX shows. I look forward to checking them out, man.
Yes.
Also on Saturday night, between the 2CW iPay-Review and PWX iPay-Review, there's also a couple other shows. C4 returns with their 6th anniversary show, Triumph. And here's what went down. As they had a standing room only, sold-out crowd in Ontario. In pre-show matches, the Axemen defeated Dash Bison, and Liam Leto pinned the new batch Gremlin number 2. In the main show, TDT won a three-way tag team frenzy over the After Party and Checkmate to become new number one contenders for the tag team titles.
Oh,
Angie Sky and Jules Malone narrowly defeated Vanessa Craven and Mary Lee Rose in a women's showcase. Ethan Page defeated Player Uno. Post-match, Paige ripped off Uno's mask, declaring he had just defeated one of the number one contenders for the C4 tag team titles. He went on to question why C4 continued to push the Super Smash Brothers as the faces of the promotion when other talent was left behind. He named his good personal friend, Josh Alexander, as an example. Paige left the ring carrying Uno's mask as Stu Grayson helped cover his partner's face. Twiggy and Giant Tiger defeated Brandon Slayer and Adam Sky. After Twiggy once again used his suffocator submission maneuver. After the match, as Twiggy and Giant Tiger celebrated their win, MVP Michael Von Payton made his way to the ring. MVP addressed Twiggy and brought up the fact that 4 years earlier, Twiggy and he headlined the 2009 anniversary event. MVP claimed that Twiggy was full of fight and potential, but since then he has become a joke. MVP challenged Twiggy to a match right there. Twiggy accepted. Twiggy pinned MVP in the wild brawl. Twiggy scored a clean pin and shocked many, especially Von Payton. Following the match, Twiggy took the microphone and belittled MVP for the loss and claimed that Von Payton is the one who has done nothing since they last clashed years ago. And then Twiggy slapped MVP across the face. To many fans' surprise, MVP did not respond. He took his elbow pads, left the ring, and with his head hanging low, he left as Twiggy celebrated. In a hard-hitting contest, Psycho Mike Rollins won a reverse decision against Speedball Mike Bailey. As Mike Bailey won the match, but continued the beat out of frustration on Rollins, and they reversed the decision. C4 Tag Team Championship, Jay Rukin and Brent Banks defeated Alex Vega and John Greed to retain the titles. It was player Dose, Stu Grayson, forced Sebastian Suave to tap out to Dragon Sleeper, scoring a victory in a four-corner match, also including Sexy Eddie and Surfer Mitch.
Look out, Sexy Eddie.
And in the main event, in a no DQ, or no count-out wild brawl, Hacker Scotty O'Shea narrowly and successfully retained his title, defeating Dirty Bucks Belmar.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to see this fucking show.
Near the end of the match, Psycho Mike Rollins once again made his way to the ring, this time carrying a table. Rollins and O'Shea double-teamed Belmar and drove him through the table after the match. And that was C4's 6th anniversary show.
Thank God.
They return to action Saturday, January 18, 2014, with a better tomorrow. C4, always a good time, and available through Smart Mark Video.
Thank you, Smart Mark.
Also, On Point Wrestling returned Saturday night with Fight to Survive. On this show, Matt Tremont defeated Joey Janela. Chris Dickinson defeated Joe Gacy. Rory Mondo defeated Nicholas Kay. Robbie Marino defeated LJ Cruz. Sam Shields defeated Angel Ortiz and the Latin Dragon. Pinky Sanchez defeated Crazy Ivan.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, that Crazy Ivan.
His name?
He's back.
Is he?
Yeah, he's been working some shows again.
Get real.
A four-way match, Stan Styles defeated Johnny Miyagi, Ryan Castellucci, and the White Delight. And Shane Strickland defeated Oz Tyler in the best around return. Bruce Maxwell and TJ Cannon defeated Drew Blood and Xavier Cross.
Where the heck are they? Where were they at?
TJ Cannon got hurt a few years back at CZW.
This was just,
Yeah, this was like they're finally back, I guess. This is like
they're back.
Either their first match or one of their first matches back. Yeah, they haven't been around.
No, I know that. I'm just saying this wasn't a one off. Like they're back.
Hopefully
like
not.
They're
hoping they were always good. Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
Best around.
Cool.
Also, Saturday Night Wrestling is fun. Return to Reading, Pennsylvania. They had a crowd of about 70 for Fun Peel Slowly and See. Match one, Frightmare pinned El Hijo del Ice Cream via Crucifix. Bora Moldova and Brown Morning of Belarus beat the Snow Troll and Green Ant. Princess Kimberly defeated Portia Perez with a small package. Fire Ant beat Cobalt. Dragon Shenron beat Juan Francisco de Coronado with a corkscrew lion saw from the middle rope. And due to stipulation was added, the loser would become the manservant to the winner. So now Juan Francisco de Coronado will be the slave to Shenron at the next Wrestling is Fun show. Cobalt defeated Lance Steele. And the Throwbacks defeated Devastation Corporation via top rope stunner. Return dates, Wrestling is Fun will return to Easton, Pennsylvania, January 18th, and Reading, Pennsylvania, on February 22nd.
Oh, they didn't close it down.
No. And then, finally, on Sunday, we had Wrestling is Respect returning to Boonton, New Jersey. Frightmare beat the Shard. Asad King defeated Jay Diesel. The Snow Troll beat Leech Landa. Chris Dickinson beat Eric Corvus. Vita Scott defeated Jesse Brooks. Vita Scott put on an open challenge to any woman for the return on January 19th, except Jackie Gate and Nicole Bass or Judy Bagwell.
That's funny.
Delirious defeated Jervis Cottonbelly. Drew Gulick and Hollow Wicked beat the Colony, a Green Ant and Fire Ant. Green Ant challenged Gulak post-match to original three-way schedule for the show for their return. Gulak accepted, and the match is pending on if Francis O'Rourke accepts. And as announced earlier, they will return January 19th to Boonton.
They didn't close that one down either.
No. So the Who Wrestling is still alive.
Look at that.
So I think Wrestling Cool may have announced another date too, so they're not all dead, so who knows what's going on.
What's going on?
I don't know. But what is going on this weekend? We're going to round out this November to remember. Not a lot going on this weekend. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Back in the day, man, Thanksgiving was like the biggest night of the year in wrestling, and now it's like we got TNA.
Down south, they all ran. Actually, all the holidays, you know what I mean, like that? Like, remember, they would do the Christmas night down there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody.
They'd always hit the holidays, because everybody had money. Because people had money, that's why.
Man, the holidays are dead, I tell you, dead.
Yeah, it's a different world.
But this Friday night kicks off the weekend. Absolute Intense Wrestling returns to Cleveland, Ohio, and we'll be there live for Hell on Earth 9.
Yes, we will.
This Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Bell Time, Turner's Hall, Cleveland, Ohio. And here's the lineup. In the main event, Hell on Earth 9 will mark the AIW debut of former Ring of Honor World Champion Kevin Steen when he takes on the King of Cleveland, Johnny Gargano, one-on-one at Turner's Hall.
Thank you, Biggins. Thank you, Thorne.
The Deviant Michael Hutter returns to AIW when he goes one-on-one in a rematch with Tim Donst. For the Intense title, champion Lewis Linden defends against Marion Fontaine.
Yes.
These two happen to be tag team champions in AIW.
Fu Manchu.
For the AIW tag team titles, the champions, the Batiri, defend against the winners of the Double Dare Tag Tournament, the Jollyville Fuckets.
I smell new champs.
Control of AIW is at stake when AIW co-owner the Duke
yes.
leads Nixon, Eric Ryan, Ricky Shane Page, and Bobby Beverly in the battle to take on co-owner Chess Flexer, who's joined by Josh Prohibition, Matt Cross, and a mystery partner. And I pray with all my fingers and all my toes, the mystery partner's not Tommy Mercer, damn it. We'll find out Friday. Well, yeah. Plus, Shima Zion returns to AIW wow. for his first time in over a year. And due to TNA rules, this will not be on a DVD or MP4, but only if you're there live. Plus, the handicap hero Gregory Iron has issued a wide-open challenge for Hell on Earth 9. Plus, a whole lot more. It's all this Friday night, Cleveland, Ohio, 7:30. It's the place to be on Black Friday.
We will be.
And then on Saturday, like we were talking for an hour with Jim Lynham, AAW returns with their biggest show of the year, Windy City Classic 9, this Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. bell time, in beautiful Berwyn, Illinois, with the legendary Berwyn Eagles Club. Listen to this lineup. AAW Heavyweight Championship on the line champion Shane Hollister, the champs Kevin Steen,
making his
debut in AAW.
Yes.
We will have the semifinals and finals of the Allegiance Tag Team Tournament. Block A semifinal is Irish Airborne taking on Jimmy Jacobs and Silas Young. Block B is Zero Gravity taking on what was supposed to be Monster Mafia, but due to Josh Alexander being out injured, it'll be Ethan Page and Ricochet against Zero Gravity. And then the two winners will fight later in the evening to crown the winner of the Allegiance Tag Tournament, and the winning team gets to pick any match of their choosing.
Look out.
The AAW Heritage title will be on the line with champion ACH defends against the Money Matt Cage.
Can't wait to see that.
In a grudge match, it'll be Heidi Lovelace one-on-one versus Miss Natural Heather Patera.
Can't wait to see that.
One-on-one, it will be Kyle O'Reilly versus Prince Mustafa. Holy, that's going to be something else.
Holy
plus, fuck. Already signed AAW Tag Team Champions Kung Fu Manchu.
Yes.
Legendary Dan Lawrence. The Marcus Crane Experience. Yeah. Christian Rose. Yes. Night Wagner. Yeah. Mischief. And more. This Saturday night. It's the big one. It's Windy City Classic 9.
We're coming.
But if you're not in Chicago, there is hope for you. Out on the left coast, we haven't forgot about you. As this Saturday night, Alternative Wrestling Show returns with a show this Saturday night to beautiful Southgate, California, and already announced.
Oh, shit.
With a 7 p.m. bell time, B-Boy defends the AWS title versus Ryan Taylor.
That'll be good.
It'll be Pretty Peter Avalon and Ray Rosas against the Los Banditos versus Suburban Commandos in a three-way. It'll be Little Cholo versus Ricky Mandel. It'll be Candice LeRae versus Vita Scott. It'll be Hudson Envy versus Brittany Wonder. Willie Mag versus Tyler Bateman. Hector Canales versus T-Rex. Los Luchas and SoCal Crazy versus Piloto Suicida. Shamu Jr. and Ultimo Shamu. Plus a whole lot more all this Saturday night in Southgate, California. And finally, rounding it out, Sunday, December 1st, one of the biggest shows of the weekend, Alpha One Wrestling returns.
Yes.
With Watch the Throne 2 this Sunday, December 1st, Knights of Columbus Hall in Hamilton, Ontario, 3:30 p.m. bell time. Actually, doors open 3:30, 4 p.m. bell time. And listen to this lineup. For the Alpha Male Championship, Ethan Page defends against Johnny Gargano. In a number one contenders match, four-way elimination, it'll be Johnny Wave versus Scotty O'Shea versus Steve Brown versus El Del Sandro Del Bruno. It will be Eazy-E versus Trent Beretta. It'll be Alex Vega versus wow. Brent Banks. It'll be Colin Delaney yeah. versus RJ City versus John Greed. It'll be Justin Sane and Mike Rollins in tag action, plus Joey Kings and more. That's Watch the Throne 2, Alpha 1 Wrestling in Hamilton, Ontario. They return this Sunday afternoon. And that, my friends, is what's going on this weekend in the independent wrestling world, man.
Sounds good.
Thanksgiving all together, man. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just about going to do it for us this week.
As we give thanks.
Yeah, man. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll be coming to AIW and AAW this weekend. We look forward to seeing everybody there.
Yeah. And see Monsoon Classic, our bud.
Yeah, Monsoon Classic we're going to see out there.
I'll meet Greg Davis for the first
time. Greg Davis we're going to see, yeah. All kinds of good stuff, man. It's going to be a fun weekend. And we hope you have fun this weekend, too. We're going to have live reports of all this great stuff next week on the show. And also on the show, we'll be having a special guest from Battle War Wrestling, as they will be crowning their first champion next weekend. So we'll have somebody on from there to talk all about it. And we hope you join us next week as well, as we got three more live shows coming up, three more shows. And there's already been a change. I announced we weren't going to do a show the last 2 weeks of the year. Things have changed, as we will have shows on the 12th and 19th, and the 5th, 12th, and 19th. And what we're going to do is a Christmas present. So if we're not going to have any shows on Christmas or New Year's Day, we're going to re-put out a show we did 2-plus years ago before it was actually the Uncle Mike and Tom show. We interviewed a friend of ours, Lucifer Grimm, and he was actually the guy that was in the match with Gary Albright when he died. And so we're going to re-release that on probably like Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or something. And we're even going to record something little where me, Uncle Mike here, and the Outlaw Mike Falcone will talk about some of our favorite matches from the year that just went by in 2013 of independent pro wrestling.
I hope you guys got the match.
Yeah. We'll talk about some of the best matches this year and replay that interview. So you'll only miss 1 week instead of two, and then we'll be back in 2014. We'll worry about that as the weeks go on. Until then, it's Uncle Mike.
Yeah.
I'm Tom Richards.
You know what, though? Maybe we should spit out a football show with Colin Delaney.
Football show with Colin Delaney?
I mean, he said he would do it. Nah, I'm joking.
Yeah.
But if he did want to do it.
All right, with that. Now we're going to say that's Uncle Mike and I'm Tom Richards. And
give you our picks.
We're out of here, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Have a good Thanksgiving. Safe travel.
Watch some good indie wrestling, man. Hit the fucking music.